mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Monday, the 17th day of August, 2009. We'll be live for the next 4 hours. We're going to have wide open phones. We have a special surprise guest, even bigger than Friday's surprise guest, Alan Keyes. We have a special surprise guest in the last hour of the show today. I am just going to leave it at that. Special surprise guest today will be very interesting, very informative. Coming up in the last hour of the show today, it will be newsworthy. It will make the news. And we'll just leave it at that. Webster Tarpley, I've been having him on a lot lately because he really is an expert on Obama, on the death panels, on what's really happening with socialistic eugenics healthcare. He's popping in the third hour. And we have Pale Horse. I got an email last Thursday from Pale Horse, but didn't have time to research it. So we're going to go ahead and have him on today. He's the guy you saw all over ABC News, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, BBC, showing his YouTube videos. He, as a militia member, he's got a stocking over his face and an army cap or an army helmet, depending on the video, saying, "We have a right to keep and bear arms," with the voice changer going. And so he wants to tell his side of the story and talk about the media demonization and the Southern Poverty Law Center demonization. And he contacted us last week. I did some research, and now we've got him coming on. Look forward to having Pale Horse on the show today on the demonization of the militia movement in this country. So Pale Horse and T-minus, 57 minutes, 30 seconds. And we got Webster Tarpley on for an hour, and then surprise guest. I will just leave it at that. Very excited about this surprise guest today. Yes, I'm building up a bit of suspense. But also, in the past, I've announced a big guest, and then people kind of called up and tried to sabotage the interview. So that's the main reason I don't announce big guest. But it also has the added surprise of the fact that it is a surprise. A treat. We like giving the listeners treats. We like treats. Surprises are fun. When I was a kid, my dad about once a month would take me to see a movie. But he'd never tell me we're going to a movie. Sometimes he'd say, "Come on with me. Where are we going? I'll tell you later." It'd be the grocery store. Or it'd be the shooting range. Or he'd say, "Oh, we're driving out to go dove hunting on this dove lease out here." Or we're going water skiing. Or we're going to go fishing. Or, but about once a month, we're going to see a movie. Of course, he wouldn't tell me until we pulled up the movie theater. And then it'd be a surprise what movie it was. So maybe that's why I like surprises. Some people have had bad surprises in their life, and they don't like any surprises. You know, even when bad things happen to me now, it's kind of like a neat surprise. Oh, look, guys are waiting for me in the parking lot. Oh, one just punched me in the nose. This is kind of a fun surprise. Maybe I'm just a sick person. Maybe that's all it is. Because then I get to give them a surprise, see? Oh, life is so wondrous, so magical, so incredible. And you never know what is going to happen next. But I guess my ancestors were adventurers, were trailblazers, were freebooters in many respects. And so I am what I am. And I guess we all are. All of humanity has wondrous history, amazing ancestors, and an even greater future if we don't let the control freak eugenicists control our destinies. Okay, unbelievably important news and information. More congressmen are going public, saying they're planning on martial law in America, and they're going to use the whole flu as a cover story. You heard it here first. I will toot our horn. No brag, just fact.
Big Brother, mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
townhall.com, going up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. The White House is abuzz with talk of witchcraft by first grandmother, 72-year-old Marion Robinson, who lives in the White House residence. A close friend of Michelle Obama says the president is furious at his mother-in-law after learning what she is practicing, Santeria, an African spirit cult, in the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe we should get Tex Mars to pop in the next few days for a quick interview on this subject. It is a fact on record that Obama carries bizarre charms in his pocket connected to cults in India, Africa, and the Middle East. All sorts of bizarre Santeria connected. But hey, Tony Blair's wife, the former British Prime Minister, admittedly is a practicing witch and practices all sorts of possession. And even BBC reported that Tony Blair practices being possessed by different spirits and flops around on the floor. You cannot make this up. He flops around like out of The Exorcist and is possessed by the spirit of light or the light giver. Doesn't call it Lucifer, just calls it light giver. Light bearer, that's of course the name of Lucifer, his proper name. So you can't make this up. I mean, you read the United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment Treaty, and it says that they want to return the earth to a pagan religion with human sacrifice. Look, I know it sounds insane. It is insane. I'm not the one doing this. People think I'm nuts because I'm the one reporting it. I had a top geologist and best-selling author on yesterday from Australia. Never heard of me, breaking down the giant eugenicist cult, the death cult that runs everything, their master plan for a world government. You can read all these different books and State Department memorandums. This is really what they believe. This is really what they are pushing. It is not a joke. It is not a game. And see, people will see this article about Santeria in the White House, which is voodoo. It's all it is voodoo light. It's white magic voodoo. Santeria is white magic voodoo. Voodoo, as it's known, as practiced in the Caribbean, is the black magic version of Santeria. Okay, for people that don't understand this. People get confused by it. That's all. That's all. And invariably, the wackos that practice it get mad at somebody, even if they're a white witch, and end up doing the bad stuff. And when I say that, I mean in their view. My view, it's all bad, but this is the way their whacked-out system works. They are the most unhappy. Well, just any country that adopts Santeria goes directly down the rat holes, directly down the toilet. I mean, if you want sewage rolling down the streets and chickens running around the streets and starving kids and people dressed up in skeleton outfits, if you want to live in Haiti or the worst parts of the Dominican Republic or other parts of the world, other armpits, then. But I mean, that's what our country is. I mean, Hillary was doing seances in the White House. Reagan, every decision he made was run by an astrologer. That's just a gateway into white magic. More quackery, more buffoonery, more idiocy. These people make me sick. And please don't send me 10,000 emails saying, not all of it's dark or evil or occultic. Whatever. I'm talking about the elite. What they're into is Satan worship. Most stratas of the New World Order are Satan worship. And then at the very top crust, it's Lucifer worship. And they're just a bunch of unhappy, power-tripping, greedy, selfish people. And that's why they haven't found the real power. And you just look at them, they just radiate weakness. But because they are weak inherently, they try to mass power and federal military around them and try to control your life. And they hate people with real power, the power of life, the power of creation, the power of the universe. I mean, it isn't even a comparison, the power of goodness compared to the power of evil. I always liken it to cancer. A cancer in a human body, if it had a consciousness, which it doesn't, but if it had a consciousness, it would imagine that it was having victory after victory, that it was running through the flesh, taking over systems, doing whatever it wants, reigning. But soon it kills the host. It's like a dog dragging a 200-pound tick. The tick is going to kill its host and then die itself. And the tick will greedily keep sucking the blood as it injects the anticoagulant into the flesh, and it will hold on with its mandibles if you try to dislodge it and whisper to you that it's doing it for your own good, and it loves you, and don't be mean, don't be abusive, be sweet to it. It's loving and good. It gave you everything you have. You're going to die if you dislodge the tick. And most societies, most cultures allow the tick to stay on. But true goodness, true wholesomeness must be willing to stand up to the tick. But the problem is the tick intimidates people and says, go along with me and I'll not eat you. But in the end, the tick does devour you. I mean, I told you, Michelle Obama is a Satan worshiper. I can take one look at her eyes, just like I can look at Aleister Crowley's eyes, or Tony Blair's eyes, or Sherry Blair's eyes, or any of these people, and they are just smoldering and burning with Satanism. I've said publicly on air, Michelle Obama is far more evil than Barack Obama. Far more evil. Barack Obama is more narcissistic and on a mindless power trip. He's mainly into being an overachiever and being patted on the head by elites. Though he does like destroying good, wholesome societies because that's part of his dominance. But Obama is able to sell evil better because he doesn't burn with a pure Luciferian light. Now, Michelle Obama has a satanic light. Treasury Secretary, you could say I see their auras, folks, but I mean that just off studying these people. If you look at Treasury Secretary, former Treasury Secretary Snow, that is someone absolutely possessed with Luciferian energy. I mean, every time I see that guy, even on television, I have to actually step back because you're looking, Donald Rumsfeld has that energy but is able to cloak it a bit better. Snow just seethes with it, absolutely seething with it. Treasury Secretary Paulson, Henry Paulson, former Treasury Secretary, he is so overtaken with it, he is just wrecked. He is in another place. He is meditating whenever he is at a podium. He's not even there. He is so possessed by it, he isn't even in this plane anymore. That's somebody who's been completely taken off. And I know you don't believe this, folks. They believe it. Okay? I know you don't believe it. But see, they believe it. Even if you're an atheist and you don't believe in good and evil, you don't believe in different spiritual forces in this universe, you're flying along on a giant planetoid orbiting a sun in deep space. There's magic and incredible energy all around you, fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are spiritual forces alive and operating in this dimension and other dimensions all around us. There's no doubt. No doubt about that. But even if you don't believe in any of that, every globalist I've ever run into or whose literature I've read, Dr. Pianka at UT, who says he wants to kill 90% of us, on the UT website, he's dressed in a Druidic robe talking about Lucifer. I mean, with a Merlin staff, with a Saruman's. I mean, these people mean business, folks. They want to kill you, period. It is the greatest exercise of power is to kill. That's why you read the writings of Lenin. He said, I want a world government so that we can then develop a scientific weapon to destroy the earth and the sun. My one goal. You can pull his poetry up. His one goal, written in the teens before he even had the revolution. I think it was one horrible poem was written in 1915, 3 or 4 years before he took over Russia, about how he wanted to create a scientific dictatorship and destroy Earth. I mean, these people are, I want to destroy you. It's like Hellraiser, event horizon, hole in the dimension with just devil, just chaos wanting to spill in and murder. I mean, these people are just, I want to murder death. And that's why when they get power, they just start murdering and death camps and piles of dead bodies and stinking dead corpses and people in black uniforms and marching around all with their eyes alight with death and hell. Oh, and they tell you to stand down and they tell you to go along with them. You cannot go along with them. You cannot give in to them. Any army that wears a black uniform is an enemy. Any army that festoons themselves with skulls is an enemy. The enemy signets are everywhere. Notice we don't have any new fads or fashions now. For 4 or 5 years, it's nothing but skulls and death. They're letting you know this is their time. And all the foolish public wears the mark of the New World Order, the mark that they're ready to be killed, ready to be slaughtered, ready to be hit with bioweapons. And the enemy is planning in the fall and winter, if we don't get the word out and stop them, to give you what you want. You like skulls and death? The enemy wants to give you that, your dead children in your hands. They want to give you rotten corpses.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Sidetracked with this story about witchcraft in the White House, and people can read this, but if they don't know that all of the elite, every single prominent member of the Democratic Party or the Labour Party in England that we've ever researched is heavily into the occult, and then many Republicans and conservatives are members of Skull and Bones or different spinoffs of that, and Bohemian Grove. And what do they do at Skull and Bones? They have homosexual sex. They worship Lucifer. They kneel before someone dressed as Lucifer, king of the world. That is now publicly mainstream news. ABC News admit it. And conservatives, whenever Bush is in office, they're like, well, you know, that's just fraternity fun. Oh, really? And then as old men, they go and do it too. Well, it's kind of Christian for men to have sex in the woods and, you know, to worship Lucifer and to kneel before Moloch. So I'm not the one that's weird reporting on this. They're the ones that are out of their minds. So we need Watson or Steve Watson or Paul Watson or Kurt or Aaron or somebody to do a boil down. Occultism and politics. And just go over it. Because these politicians really believe that Satan is the god of this world. They believe that, again, there's two different camps, the Satanists and the Luciferians, and there's a little bit of go between. And when you actually get into higher level Luciferianism, they lie to people and say, oh, we're loving. Oh, we believe Lucifer's really Jesus. But then they say, though Lucifer does want us to kill the majority of the earth. So they also lie. It's all about deception. And they really have just deceived themselves. But I'll get into that later. When you don't have Jeremiah Wright saying GD America, you got grandma getting possessed by the devil spirits. Can you imagine the wild dancing, the voodoo going in on there? Remember the Rolling Stones that time they got caught doing voodoo and a dead kid was there? Was he like 11 or 12, but they didn't get in trouble for it? Famous case. That was in New York. But they had strings to pull. Ah, you got a dead kid. And some goat heads severed and blood everywhere. What's the big deal? I mean, it's all in the seeking after the power to really show you got what it takes, kill some innocent. And see, it's their religious sacrament to inject you with the cancer viruses and the adjuvants that cause brain damage. When you get your Alzheimer's or your Guillain-Barré's or your muscular dystrophy, all the hundreds of different brain disorders they give you, it's all part of the sacrifice. The wars are part of the sacrifice. It's all part of the establishment showing themselves and their peers and their God that they're going to give blood sacrifice. And the Aztecs and the Mayans and the Babylonians and the Romans and the Egyptians and the Vandals, the Germans, the Gauls, the Norse, they all do it. The Britties, the Scots, every human culture plunges daggers into babies and rips their guts and hearts out. Every culture does it. Every culture piles the dead bodies up in the sun and throws women and children into freezing water with stones tied around them, or throws them into fiery bonfires, till their heads pop. And most cultures pull the meat out after it's cooked properly and devour their own children with pleasure. And what it is sick cultures where the most degenerate control freaks get into control, cow those of us that don't have their wicked spirit, and then start feeding on us. When will we rise up and smash the enemy? When will we rise up with righteousness and grab the New World Order by its snake-like throat and crush it? Crush the head of the snake and truly build towards the stars. But no, cultures of evil set in. And the minute you let control freaks and evil people get control, it immediately races to the bottom. The worse, the most degenerate, the most psychopathic, the most sadistic of their number soon get into power. And then it's all part of topping the last person. First, they sell you the evil and darkness is sexy, and the weak are attracted to it like moths to the flame. Then they build an army of weak scum and turn them against the righteous and the upright. And the righteous and the upright stand down and let the weak, cowardly, lesser people run all over us. It's time to activate. It's time to rise. It's time to destroy the New World Order.
Don't call my name out your window when I'm leaving. I won't even turn.
That's what the New World Order is afraid of us doing, is just standing up to them and saying, we don't buy anything you say or do. Government's too big. You're out of control. You're a bunch of parasites. The feds want to take over 20% of the economy. When I saw the numbers that Congress put out last week, as of August 11th, Americans worked 8 months or over half the year just to pay federal, state, and local taxes. I mean, they're already getting 60%+ of your money. And the OECD, the Organization of Economic and Cooperative Development, a big bank receivership arm set up during the Marshall Plan after World War II, but it's just a private banking receivership arm designed to take over countries. The OECD says they want an 85%+ tax rate worldwide under world government rule. And that, of course, is what Time Magazine and the Financial Times of London and the Wall Street Journal and hundreds of other publications have said in the last year, that to fix the economic crisis the banks created, they want a new bank of the world that we all pay our carbon taxes and other taxes to, and an 80%+ tax rate, and tax rates and interest rates and currency rates set by a private banking cartel so they can game the markets even more and vertically integrate things through their crony capitalist model. They socialize us, they socialize the risk, privatize the profit. They socialize our lives to make us dependent on them. But then you have private families that then own the majority of the planet. Can you, and the death panels, the euthanasia, it's all in there. You read the panels they want to set up, then you go read what those panels are in the bioethicist boards, and it is death panels. Europe has it. Tom Daschle wrote a book saying it. And the people know they're liars. Just like when Obama says, there is no just like when Obama comes out and says there are no gun control bills, biggest gun control bills ever. It's like he says there is no cap and trade. There is no tax. He says this is not a tax when the whole thing is a giant 1,300-page tax, admittedly on record. They just stonewall you and stonewall you. They stonewall all of us. So the debate is always about whether it exists or not instead of about do we want this? And again, it's a military tactic. It's a military tactic to say you are not being assault. You are not under assault. They will broadcast that a peace deal has been signed while they bomb your country. They will do it. They will broadcast over your radio transmissions in a real war that your forces are losing and that a deal's been signed. They will broadcast in your own language with your own codes that your commanders have told you to stand down. Or that your commanders have told you to surrender. This is military. This is 101 military conflict. Our government has been seized by offshore banks, offshore corporations engaged in hardcore black propaganda, black info war. Propaganda is a neutral term. It just means information supporting your political or worldview. White propaganda uses the truth. It's the most powerful type. But when you're lying criminals, you're forced to use black propaganda and gray propaganda. What is black propaganda? There's millions of forms of it. Here's one used against me. The feds come out knowing they're totally discredited, and so they say, I'm a fed all day. And it's just meant to confuse people, demoralize people, and to keep people from moving forward as leaders and taking action when we're starting to have huge victories. Because it's black propaganda, because it's a lie. It isn't based in common sense or history or any studying or understanding of how things work. But for ignorant people just now waking up, black propaganda is effective. Now, what is an example of white propaganda? White propaganda is reading the different bill numbers on air where it states that it allows the Attorney General to ban any handguns or rifles he wants with the stroke of a pen. We've given those bill numbers. White propaganda would be 3 years ago when they were lying and saying that the Senate bill was not amnesty, but it was secret and the public couldn't see it. And then Senator Sessions engaged in white propaganda. He released the bill and got in trouble for it. Under Senate rules, he wasn't supposed to, but everybody saw the bill and found out it was worse than amnesty. It legalized all illegal aliens, including felonies, and allowed them to bring their family members here for 6 years until it was supposedly going to be revoted on. That's white propaganda. One of the biggest forms of black propaganda is to simply state there is no New World Order. As the globalists write hundreds of books, hundreds of white papers, really thousands of white papers, giant university reports, open announcements, CFR publicly writing the laws that Congress passes, Royal Institute of International Affairs writing the laws that Parliament passes in England, then saying there's no New World Order. It's very childlike level propaganda they use, but the public is at a childlike level of understanding. Okay, I'm ranting here. We've got a bunch of guests coming up today, including a surprise guest in the last hour. We have Tarpley coming on about eugenics and about Obama plunging the approval ratings 3 points last week. That's never before happened to a president. 3 points in 1 week in a bunch of different mainline polls. So we've got that going on. And I've got this militia individual coming on called Pale Horse that the media has been showing a lot of. The guy wearing a stocking over his face with an army helmet on top of it. Seems like a friendly fellow on the phone, but we'll talk about his message, and you'll get to hear him unedited by the mainstream media coming up in the next hour. And I have some suggestions for Mr. Pale Horse as well. So that is coming up. I really should have gotten into our top news right at the start of the show, but just the sheer magnitude and importance of it really dumbfounds me. I can't believe it's happening exactly, precisely the way I said it would. Man, being this right, folks, and understanding the enemy to this level, and then knowing they're just going to go on committing their crimes in plain view, and knowing the government are eugenicists, knowing they're spraying us with barium salts and aluminum dioxide, they admit they are now, Wall Street Journal, Associated Press, laughing at us, knowing they're putting cancer viruses and brain-damaging chemicals like adjuvants in all the major shots, having their own documents where they're doing it on purpose and laughing about it, it freaks me out. I don't even know what to say anymore. Knowing that it's all real, knowing I was right all these years. I wish I was wrong. I'm sick of doing this. I'm sick of not being able to tear myself away from it. And I'm sick of the problems it causes. Because, you know, nobody's perfect, but I need to be with my children more. And I've got work I've got to do. I've got a bunch of projects I'm working on, a bunch of places I've got to fly in the next 2 weeks. And I'm not whining and complaining. I'm just saying that I want this nightmare to end. I'm not in a one-upsmanship with the New World Order and all these corrupt people. My ego less and less is in it. I don't have any other word to describe it, so I'll use it. I'm not in a pissing contest with anybody anymore. In the past, I did have more ego involved in this. It was a little bit of a macho thing. I mean, I was doing it for the right reasons. My heart was in the right spot. But I'm going through changes right now, and I know all of you are too. It's a quickening of the spirit. And tapping into this level of knowledge, tapping into this level of understanding, tapping into this level of love, and then actually this level of discernment and seeing what I've been in the past and what I am, it's just so huge that I'm speechless. I almost want to just go wander around. In fact, that's what the instinct is, the drive, the spiritual drive, is to go to the countryside to get out of this. Because it's just, the information is so incredible. In fact, I want to take a break a few minutes, and I'm going to come back and cover all these public officials coming out saying the government's planning martial law to use a stage flu outbreak to do it. The incredible success of the Joker poster contest on so many levels is indescribable. I want to thank all of you that have been involved. I just can't believe I'm in this position. It's also an overdriving understanding of that I'm not worthy to be in this position of leadership. The spirit of resistance to this tyranny, the spirit of, I mean, it is. This, the Holy Spirit is so strong against this evil that it's to a level I've never even experienced. And then I realize that there is a whole nother level that literally my flesh is almost holding back from taking me over. I just can't even describe this. Play Renegades, John. I've got to take a few minute break here, and then I'll cover this news, okay? Go to Renegades for me. Do you have that ready? All right, here it is.
From Nazareth he came with the ragtag band to bring a revolution. Some would make him king. follow him. Thank God for the renegades and the lions they lead. For ahead of their time, without the renegades, Lord knows where we'd be. When it comes to heroes, renegades are mine. Another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thank God for the renegades and the lives they lead. Far ahead of their time, without the renegades, Lord knows where we'd be. When it comes to heroes, renegades are mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, the New World Order is real. Their plan to kill the majority of the population is real. They've been testing soft kill weapons in the water supply, the air, in the vaccines for a long time. They're getting more bold now with things like Gardasil and this flu shot. We have scores of mainstream news articles posted in the last few days up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com about the flu shot, the one they plan to force on every American, that's confirmed, killing large percentages of those in the trials. I mean, it's killing people fast and brain damaging and hurting others. But it's killing large percentages, just like upwards of 25% died in Europe last year during secret trials of a flu vaccine. And they're testing in the media if they can just kill us in large numbers and they're not even be a big deal. See, because if the media hypes up a shark killing one person a year off the California coast, people stop, you know, large portions of the population stop swimming in the Pacific Ocean off California if one person gets killed. You're saying, what does that have to do with this, Alex? Well, with how they can hype fear. See, if they don't hype the flu vaccines killing people en masse, then no one cares and people just take it and calmly die and go, yeah, my kid died, or yeah, my daughter can't walk now and is in a wheelchair. She was a cheerleader last week. Now she's in a wheelchair and has, you know, blood coming out her nose. But since the media acts like it's, oh, good, she's dead now, it's kind of like, oh, good, people are dying, I'm still going to take it. Oh, the Gardasil's killing all these people. Good, I'm going to give my daughter that. See, things that actually are deadly dangerous, nobody cares about because the media doesn't hype it. And then things that aren't dangerous. I mean, when people are walking around in the woods at 2 a.m., I've taken full-grown men out with me coyote hunting. They get scared in the middle of the woods at night with no flashlight. They don't like their night vision, their own eyes turning on. The big secret is, folks, you don't need night vision goggles if you stay outside for 30 minutes. Every person I've ever taken hunting, Most people get scared out in the woods. They get spooked. It's fine. But see, they have monsters in their psyche, so they're scared. But meanwhile, real monsters, they're not scared of. So see, they're testing right now, killing you out in the open, and nothing happened. It's just unbelievable. All right, I'm going to get into all these public officials saying they're getting ready for martial law under the flu blanket, under the flu cover, and a lot more. Just stay with us. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv in 6 minutes.
On a lonesome highway, east of Omaha. Listen to the engine moaning out his one old song.
We're only alive once. Make sure it counts, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't about collecting toys or baubles. It isn't about glitz and glamour. It's about exploring your mind, your soul. It's about science. It's about building. It's about improving the species. And realizing we're all just individually cells, part of a greater organism. And the elite understand that, so they try to take over humanity. We are individuals acting freely that make up a greater whole. Because the type of wicked individuals that seek to control society are the exact wrong type of psyches and souls that we need at the helm of humanity's destiny. I don't know how anybody could be bored with life. All the wonderment, all the amazing beauty, and all the ugliness, all of it is so amazing. How could anybody not just be absolutely stunned by creation? How could anyone not in their very soul feel the great directive energy of God Almighty? How could you not marvel at your consciousness? How could one not look at the stars? And not see the face of God. Instead, you have the public who have their souls basically sucked out of them. All right, here's what's going to happen. I've been waxing philosophic. We've got this militia commander coming on, who's been quite controversial in the media, pale horse, at 8 after. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv in 3 minutes, 10 seconds. When pale horse leaves us at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to get into all the latest developments here. Now, Dick Armey, former leader of the Republicans, former House Majority Leader, Republican of Dallas, very prominent, warns that the government is planning to exploit a hype swine flu outbreak this fall in order to reinvigorate support behind its failing Obamacare agenda. Congressman Brown is saying they want it for martial law. So is Ron Paul. And there can be no doubt that this is indeed happening. Now, I'm not tooting my horn. I say this so you'll pay attention to me. I told you this in January, before the flu ever broke out, as the priming event to get you ready for the fall in April. Now it's all manifesting exactly as I said. Please. It's like telling a 5-year-old, don't walk out in the street, you get run over. I understand the enemy. Please, I understand how to beat them. And I'm going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour coming up after we get into this militia discussion. We're going to dovetail that with all the mainstream news coming out, but dryly reporting on it, about how the government's putting live polio in the vaccine, killing people. AP. How the government's putting live cancer viruses in the current flu shot. Mainstream news. How it's causing degenerative brain disorders that are killing people in days. They're so deadly. I can't tell you how many people I know that go get a flu shot, have a convulsion, and are paralyzed a week later and then dead a year later. They're just killing us all over the place. We're going to talk about that. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, one of my producers got approached by a Fed last night. I'm not going to say which one. He was at a bar by his house having a beer. The guy comes over, classic MO. Starts talking about Alex Jones, starts talking about how he knows one of our former producers, who's very suspect, and all this other stuff, all this inside info, and just absolutely staged, and then started asking what we think about Obama and things here at the office. Again, we got feds all over us, folks, because we know they're planning on launching a deadly flu attack. They want to find one thing to march in here and take me to prison. And I just pray to God. I put everything in God's hands, whatever God's will is. If it's God's will, they kill me. God's will, they put me in prison and torture me. You know what? I don't even ask people to pray that God protect me. If it's providence, that's the way it is. I believe I need to stay outside prison, outside the grave, and I want to continue my work, but I'm not worried about dying. I'm not afraid of dying. And I don't want to leave my family unprotected, but I know God. The only time I ask God for anything is that if I do get killed or imprisoned, that God will put up a hedge around my wife and children. I don't even want to get into it. I shouldn't even have talked about it. We just got feds everywhere. They're so criminal, man. They're so criminal. I mean, they know we're good. They know we're not terrorists. They know we know their bosses are terrorists. The banks are bankrupting America. Good people inside the Army sent me the Army document, how they follow me and Ron Paul around and how they go to our In the Fed events. Then people didn't believe that document. It became national news. The Army admitted it. I mean, if you want to know the government's criminal, folks, it's totally illegal to have the Army following us around. It's illegal to have the local threat integration fusion center with their informants going around. And this is happening to all the major We Are Change leaders. They go to a bar or they go to a restaurant or they go to church. People walk up and ask, hey, you ever thought about attacking the president? I mean, I've had cops right out of central casting over and over again at the grocery store walk over. At a restaurant when I'm covering Bilderberg, you know, at a hotel 10 miles away. Hey, Alex, I'm a big fan of you. You want to attack the State Department tomorrow? And I'm like, leave me alone, cop. You know I'm nonviolent. And I've even had the cops go, the feds go, well, you know, I'm just doing my job. And I'm like, so I just can't handle it anymore. I'm just so sick of you. Listen, you jackass. They're shooting your kids up with cancer viruses. You think it's cute? You think it's cute? The eugenicists are jacking the water and jacking you? I'm sick of it. How in the world do I shut up? How in the world do I not sit here and speak out and tell the truth? How in the world do I go along with your crap? You stupid idiots. Even if you're evil, you FBI and police criminals, even if you're really dark side people that deal drugs and kill people and all the other crap you do, even if you are stealing drugs out of the impound department and the rest of it, this is a lot bigger than that, you fools. This is real. They are sticking stuff in your water. You understand how diabolical this is? This is a level of evil way above all your gangster crap, all above your macho societies. It's way above that. It's 1,000 times darker. It's cold-blooded. It's scientific. It's religious. And I'm not part of the sacrament of death. I don't want to be fed into the maw of the New World Order. But I don't, you know what? But the final equation, it doesn't matter if I am, if it protects innocence. And I love other people's children as much as I love mine. I love innocence and I love goodness. And as a man, I am here to stand up against evil. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. But I'm just getting so sick of it. I do say this. Anybody does anything to my people or my family, I do pray for people to pray that God bring justice to anybody that lays their hands on any of us. but I don't even need to say that prayer. You evil people have hellish lives because you are evil. And you're going to learn the fear of God. You understand that?
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Coming up in the fourth quarter of this hour, I'm going to get into governors opposed DOD emergency powers, multiple congressmen saying they're planning to use the flu as a martial law cover story. This is the Governors Association. This is prominent members of Congress. This is Congressman Brown, former Republican leader Dick Armey, Ron Paul, current congressman. Folks, this is really happening. Criminals really do run the government. We're also going to get into how the flu shots are killing people en masse. So that's coming up. And then how we get the word out and stop these people with grassroots campaign like the Obama poster. That idea, that system is key. All right, here's the bio of the individual we're about to interview for the next 30, 40 minutes or so. He's Pale Horse. His YouTube address is YouTube Ohio Militia, youtube.com/Ohio Militia. Former enlisted Army and founder of this section of the Northern Ohio Militia near Cleveland, and they train. It goes on to say, site got hacked a couple of days ago, but we still have some of his videos, he's saying. Now, let's go ahead and play a clip of Pale Horse. Here it is.
It has nothing to do with the fact that we have a black president. I started my group several years ago before we had a black president when Bush was in office. They're trying to make it look as if, oh, all of a sudden Obama's in office, and now all of a sudden these militants are taking up arms. I mean, a year ago before Obama was in office, there was all this stuff on YouTube. There was all these MySpace pages. Alex Jones was still doing the same thing that he's doing. It's all been the same. I'm sure more people have woken up since then, but, you know, it's not the way that the media is portraying us.
Baggers, birthers, deathers, those on the outer fringe are on the rise. It should come as no surprise then that almost a death.
Okay, so later we're going to play some of the actual newscast where they were demonizing him and putting him up there, but not really letting him finish a coherent statement. That way they could just use the scary sounding voice to intimidate people. And I would think out of the thousands of militia videos that are out there, they probably chose Pale Horse's video because the voice changer he's using to protect his identity does make it sound scary. And that's meant to scare little old ladies and people living in their inner city crime compounds. But let's go ahead and go to Pale Horse right now, joining us live. We were able to get him on the show because he contacted us. Mr. Pale Horse, good to have you on with us.
Thank you. This is an honor, definitely.
Now, why are you not protecting your voice here on the radio?
Well, really, you know, I get a lot of things on YouTube. The government knows who you are. You know, why are you covering your face? Why are you disguising your voice? And really, it was more, you know, I know the FBI and whoever wants, if they want to know who I am, they know who I am. And it was more or less as, you know, just to give the video mystique. And clearly it worked because I ended up on, corporate news, so.
Well, let me just be honest with you here out of the gates. I told my staff as soon as they saw this last Thursday when you emailed us, well, I'd seen it Tuesday and Wednesday on national television everywhere, but then I actually watched some of your videos even before to ascertain and really assess from my research who and what you are. And then you contacted us, and I said, I need some more time to look into this, but either you were doing this to get attention, knowing that putting this mystique on it, as you call it, would make the media pick up on what you were saying because it was useful to them, or you are a Adam Gadon type Fed or foundation hired person meant to make the militias look dangerous and fringe and bad. I'm not here judging you. I'm not here saying you're a bad person. I'm just here to try to really, truly assess now talking to you here on air and having more time to look at what you do. I think this may be more of an art project, and that you did this to get attention, and that certainly worked, but we're going to try to ascertain that here today. But instead of me just talking at you, pale horse, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your militia and what you guys stand for.
Well, basically, we're just a militia group like any other group. I started in the Washington State Militia, and then upon moving back to Ohio, which is my native state, I began training with the Michigan Militia, and I just got real proactive in the movement, and, you know, basically just started my own group eventually, and, you know, I'm just trying to get the word out there and just train to protect my family, and, you know, I think you have the wrong idea of, you know, who I am. Basically, you know, I didn't put the video up to get attention. I had no idea that, you know, it would be as big as it was, you know, 100,000 plus views and being all over the news and everything.
I thought you just said you wanted mystique.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea of the video is that mystique, but at the same time, I had no idea that it was going to go as far as it did, you know what I mean? I was just telling people to buy guns and basically just prepare for what's to come, same as you do.
What are your influences?
I'm actually friends with Mark Kornacki. He's one of my big influences. I've read the book Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper.
Let me ask you a question. Did you read the part in there about holograms and the aliens filming Jesus in a hologram and flying submarines in the Bilderberg Group, meeting under the Arctic Circle in submarines?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard all the, you know, the shape-shifting reptilians.
No, you're not listening
stuff.
To me. I'm seeing if you actually read that book. Tell me about that book.
Basically, it talks about how he was in the Navy at one point, and, you know, he's seen spaceships come out of the ocean, and, I mean, he covers so many different things in there.
Okay, does it talk about aliens sacrificing Jesus in holograms?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so you've read the book, all right. Just making sure there. Listen, I'm not trying to, listen, you may be a nice guy, and talking to you now, I'm not saying you're bad, and we all learn, we all try, we all grow. And so I'm just asking you this question. When you saw yourself on national television, on ABC and Fox and everywhere else, why do you think out of all the militia videos out there, they chose you?
I would say because the fact that my face is covered and because the scary voice modulator that I had on there, because it's kind of saying, you know, this could be anybody. This could be your neighbor. You know what I mean? And it's easy to point the finger at a guy with no face rather than, you know, a specific person. Does that
make
sense?
Okay. Listen, I want to hold you for a while. I want to give you a chance to give us your perspective. I'm not here attacking you, Pale Horse. Why did you choose the name Pale Horse? You know, Pale Horse is death.
Yes. Well, you know, I want to say death to the NWO and death to the Illuminati. So that is my message. My former name was Hobbs. You know, I just like the name, and it really had nothing to do with, you know, being the enemy of mankind or anything like that.
I didn't think that. I was asking, and I figured that was what you would say. I'm just really here trying to learn, Pale Horse, there in Ohio. How many videos have you made? How long have you been making videos?
I've been posting them on YouTube for the past year. I believe the first one I put up was in October, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. So I hadn't actually put out a video in quite some time, you know, due to being busy in my daily life. But, you know, once seeing myself on the news, then I felt that I had to put, you know, a response to that, which you've seen and you have posted on your site.
Absolutely. I mean, you notice when we posted your video, we didn't make a judgment. We said, here's what Pale Horse has to say. It's just here on air, I'm trying to flesh this out. I'm not making a judgment of you. I'm telling you, we said either this is a guy who wanted to get his message out and knew this would be spooky and it would, which you're saying is the case, and I tend to believe you, or this is ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, or actual federal government, because the lighting, the way you have your lieutenant behind you, him wearing the gas mask. This is exactly how the feds would do it. I mean, this is directly with the proven fake Al-Qaeda videos and Adam Gadon and all of these. This is directly out of central casting what you did. So you are a talented guy the way you did this. You know, with your, again, you look like a bad guy from a James Bond publication, from a James Bond movie. My issue is, I've always told the militia, you're constitutional, you're wonderful, you're the salt of the earth. We should be mainline and run for sheriff and have it be shooting enthusiast clubs. So any group that's hiding in secret and telling you to sneak around in the bushes with them, though, is going to be filled with feds, and they're going to try to provocateur you and plant pipe bombs on you. And so in my experience, guys that show up at city council in camo, and because I've gone and tracked these people, and I actually, one time to find out about them, infiltrated a few of the groups, like, oh, they'd be happy to have Alex Jones in them. I went as a true patriot and infiltrated and found out there were feds in these. So I was like, whoa. So I have actually gone a decade ago, 12 years ago, and done research. I found one real militia group in Central Texas. The others were commanded by feds. Okay, so I want to warn anybody that gets involved with these militias that you're going to be there with feds or foreign mercenaries or Mossad agents who are going to be trying to get you to carry out acts of terrorism so they can create the fictitious view in the public with decoys that there is actually a terror movement so they can sick Homeland Security on the American people. Did you ever think about that, Pale Horse?
Oh, of course. I mean, I know there's plenty of feds out there in the militia movement, but if you knew me personally, which obviously you don't, you'd know that I'm the furthest thing from a fed that you could possibly have. I mean, I'm just a regular guy. You know, I work, I have two children, and, you know, I just woke up eventually, like everyone should, and at that point, you know, I did the same thing that you do, and I just decided to do the best that I can to fight the New World Order and, you know, just make a name for my group. And
well, here's the deal. We're in urban terrain, and so this is your uniform. He'll be with us till about 40 after or so. He's Pale Horse from Ohio. Look at this image here on screen at PrisonPlanet.tv or go watch his videos online. We have them linked on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com or on YouTube at YouTube/Ohio Militia. Perfect how they've got the American flag behind them. And this is a multifaceted image. Now, if you hit on this by yourself, which may be true, I'm not saying you're a liar, then it's amazing, because this is exactly how the globalists would phrase it. They would put a lieutenant behind you, which is associated with third world dictators, thugs, things like that. He's also meant to look a bit ridiculous, a bit tubby, with mixed matched uniforms to disgust military people, esprit de corps. This is meant, they're afraid of the military and police, as the Southern Poverty Law Center said when they attacked me and Stuart Rhodes and Ron Paul in their report last week. They're afraid of the military and police joining the spirit of 1776. So they're all into being in shape, and I'm not saying you're fat, maybe it's just a lot of clothes you're wearing, into how they dress, what they look like. I mean, a gas mask, helmets. So this is meant to look Laurel and Hardy right here. But then your voice is also meant to scare little old ladies who don't get that message. It's just meant to scare them and kind of scare the gelded, cowardly public. And then you've got your adjunct here or your mini-me behind you. I mean, sir, you have hit. Look, talking to you right now, your voice, everything you say sounds like you're not a fed. But then the image is just, how did you perfectly hit what the New World Order would want? I mean, just magically, or I guess there's thousands of militias. Somebody out there is going to put out the image the establishment wants?
It was actually very impromptu. I mean, you know, having my friend stand behind me was actually like a spur-of-the-moment decision, you know, as we were filming this thing. And, you know, it was a showing force, basically, that it's not just me, you know, that there's actually other people in my group. And, you know, that
it's like the Republic of Texas has admirals over bass boats.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying.
look. I think you're obviously a good American. You I mean, your voice, everything. I couldn't tell off the voice on here. And I'm not knocking you. And a lot of these militia guys get mad because they want to strut around at events in camo and walk around acting tough. And it's like some kind of adolescent, you know, deal or something. And then I see them go to prison. I see them get set up. Anytime somebody's joining a militia, yeah, we're going to case out the local police station. And then you find out it's the cops leading it, and they bust you, and they put a pipe bomb in your car, and it's militia's plan to bomb the police station. And it comes out 6 months later in federal court that you weren't planning that, but they got the feds created the Viper Militia out of a meth-dealing, toothless biker gang on the West Coast so they could have the term Viper with militia. I've got stacks of news articles here. Mossad double agent is script writer for Bin Laden tape. Hardcore Zionist Adam Perlman, who once condemned Muslims as bloodthirsty terrorists behind latest scam. The Intel Center uploaded the Al-Qaeda videos with their own watermark, with the Al-Qaeda watermark. Proven. Same people. Turned out the guy running Intel Center was Black Ops commander under Rumsfeld, in CIA and Pentagon both. Here's another one. White supremacist radio host Hal Turner was FBI informant, came out in federal court. That's mainstream news. Miami Herald reports the major leaders of their white supremacist meetings there are feds. You have the Southern Poverty Law Center with Elohim City white supremacist compound, founded and commanded by Southern Poverty Law Center. That came out mainstream news, FBI documents, running McVeigh out of there. Then you have the Army involved, Camp Grouper, fueling the Ryder truck. Local cops saw it, took photos, thought it was suspicious. Look, they're loading that Ryder truck. Of course, then some of the cops that released that got killed. Oh, yeah, they kill cops. So you need to understand, bro, that I understand that maybe this is a feedback loop from old militia movies the feds put out and old Al-Qaeda movies they've put out. You picked up the archetypal image of this and maybe subconsciously recreated it here. Just when I saw this, it was like red alert. So do you get where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, I wish I was that clever, to be honest. Really, it was just, you know, with the innovation of editing and everything, you know, I just sat there for 10 minutes sweating under the heat lamps and just said everything that was on my mind and edited it down and just threw in a few news clips. And that was, you know, the basic, you know, format of the video. You know, I mean, I didn't really have a pre-written script or anything like that. And like,
well, listen, what you say is pretty good. Which is another thing the feds would do. When they put out fake messages, it sounds reasonable, but then the imagery is bad to make people then think you're bad when people hear the good message later. I've studied the enemy operations. Stay there. I want to let folks hear what Pale Horse actually has to say and who you really are on the other side. We're going back to Pale Horse here in just a moment. I do want to tell folks about some of the sponsors that have made today's broadcast possible. One of them is eFoods Direct. This is the storable foods company, the best prices, the highest quality, no GMO, no hybrid. And one of the most important points is they manufacture it every week. They can the food. They prepare the food every week at their factory in Utah. This is not stuff from 10 years ago that's been sitting in a warehouse rotting, filled with MSG. There's none of that. New and fresh, more than 10 years in climate controlled, 10 years if it's in your garage, like my house, because I don't have room for it. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. eFoodsDirect.com, the letter E, and then FoodsDirect.com, just one word. eFoodsDirect.com, big fat banners up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with all these uncertain times. The economy and depression and the talk of flu. We hope none of that happens. We're trying to get the word out so the globalists don't launch their op. But we hope for the best, prepare for the worst. eFoodsDirect.com or 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633. And then lastly, we want to tell you about a free offer going on right now at frontsight.com. That's frontsight.com. Frontsight.com, like the front sight on a rifle. It is the biggest and most successful private firearms training facility in the country. They have a lot of free stuff as well online at frontsight.com. A lot of online tips, a free newsletter. But you can go to Pahrump, Nevada, right outside Pahrump, Nevada. The fall fills up quick, so register today. And when you take the five-day world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute, you secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, and you get a free XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. They've got an incredible special going, but it won't last forever. So frontsight.com, check them out today. Run by Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Okay. Going back to Pale Horse. Pale Horse, I've got a few final comments I want to make. But other points you'd like to add about being now the poster boy for the militia slash right-wing extremist slash white supremacist movement, because they, you know, they first say white supremacists, then they connect it to militias that are a good thing. Then once they demonize militias, they connect that to gun owners, veterans, conservatives, people that don't want the health care bill. And I don't know if you've heard my show before, but I've been making the point the last year that as soon as they reintroduce the militias are going to kill you propaganda, that means they're getting ready to stage a false terror attack and blame it on all of us out here fighting the New World Order. So we're now moving into that final phase, and none of us are perfect in our presentation here. I've certainly done plenty the media can demonize, so I'm not here judging you. I'm just constructively saying that, well, there's a guy that wears a skull mask, but in a sharp Marine dress uniform. They tracked him down off his IP address and threatened to court-martial him if he didn't stop. They were scared of that sharp uniform and a high and tight focus person whose eyes were, you know, pointed straight and on target, because the top, you know, the eyes were showing. It's the eyes being covered up. If you're going to cover your face, show your eyes. This is contact with people. They don't respect somebody whose eyes they can't see. Get a uniform that's trim. I mean, there's such a thing. It all goes into military psychology. And I'm not here knocking you. This is stuff I learned over the years. Go ahead.
You know, I do agree. You know, I could be a Fed. But at the same time, anyone who's in the militia movement should be wary of anyone that they don't know. And
But you don't have to be wary if you're at county commissioners meetings out in the open. And if you're doing things like the Appleseed course, where you're just out saying, everybody come out, it's fun, we're shooting and rediscovering George Washington, and we're the good guys, we're the majority. The feds are scared to death of that movement. They want it to be, you know, we're putting on our mask and hiding in the woods and, you know, sneaking up to cornrows and aiming our guns out when cops drive by, acting like we're doing something bad. That's what's filled with feds. Do you understand?
Well, yeah, and if you look at my message, nowhere is there hate speech. I'm not a racist. And, you know, it's easy for people just to believe everything they see on the news, that, oh, these militias are bad and, you know, they're all white supremacists and things like that. You know, I've trained with African Americans and other ethnicities, and, you know, I just think it's wrong the way that they're putting us out there like that. But I understand at the same time that, you know, being part of the militia, that's one of the downfalls.
Look, what's happened is being involved covering the militia, a lot of these guys have never been in the military. I haven't either. I'm not up here being macho. And they want that experience. And they know America's in trouble, and they're good guys.
Well, but a lot of the leaders of the groups are actually former military.
No, I understand that. I'm just telling you what I've experienced. And they're very easily led. They're easily led by feds to set you up and get you in trouble. All I'm saying is, if the militia wants to be mainstream, which it's in the U.S. Code, it's in the Constitution, and doesn't want to be demonized, we should be out in the open and out in the open about our liberty and freedom. And generally, it's associated with bad guys wearing masks and wearing hoods. And it's easily associated with Al-Qaeda, which is also a CIA creation, wearing masks and hoods. And I understand people that want to be secretive, and they have their First Amendment to be secretive and do this. I just think militias might want to have a public spokesperson who's good-looking and well-spoken, who goes out and does the talking, instead of people in masks looking like the PLO. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I didn't realize that, you know, all this was going to come to pass. And I've actually contemplated putting a video up where I'm not, you know, wearing any kind of mask or voice modulator. You know, and I'm not afraid of the FBI or the government. It was more to like protect my family and things like that, not bring any unwanted attention towards them. You know, like I said, my wife's been scared to death since this whole thing's come to pass. You know, I'm like, check it out, honey, I'm on the news. You know what I mean? It was very surreal. But I do agree with you about covering your face and everything.
Now, did YouTube take your videos down?
I don't know if YouTube did, but someone somehow hacked my computer. I had threats on my comments saying we're going to hack you and things like that, and I didn't really take it seriously. And then I got a phone call saying all your videos are down, and I got on there, and I had no more videos up, so I lost all my hits on my videos. But I am putting them back up, and I'm going to try to take measures, you know, put up a good firewall so that this doesn't happen again.
Was the whole YouTube channel shut down or just your videos?
The channel itself was still up, but all the videos were taken down and all of my comments were erased, and they messed with a few other things on there. But, you know, as of now, it's back up and running, but I just don't have all my videos up yet.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if I was you, if you want your family to be safe, I would come out, do a video, explain why you did it, because the feds will sick local dumb cops they use on you. And down the road, they may set you up with a pipe bomb or something to introduce you as the Pale Horse. Even that name, they're going to love you.
Because
it's all about simple branding. And I'm not saying you can't wear a mask and be on TV and have a scary voice changer. I'm just telling you it plays directly into their hands. I mean, the majority of Texans in polls want to secede and have the Republic of Texas. So the feds went out and found the one group of people in a trailer who immediately declared themselves president. That's not how it's done. You have the revolution first, then you have an election of a president. And so they killed the people in their trailer, basically. And then, because it was ridiculous to see hillbillies announcing themselves president. So they try to demonize any revolution by going to the more kooky or ridiculous angles out there. And we're not going to be able to stop this happening. It's just that we have to then make the public aware of how this whole battle of images works. And so I just want you to know that the way you did this video, I mean, anybody, how many Al-Qaeda videos have we seen put out by the Pentagon? It's now been admitted mainstream news. Do they do it just like this with a blue screen behind them, a lieutenant standing the same way, looking clownish, and somebody else with a scary looking gun? You know, the most scary type, what, a semi-automatic Uzi, or what is that?
In the newest video, that is an Uzi semi-automatic.
Yeah, so you've got all of this going on. I'm just telling you, it's a nightmare out of central casting. And, yes, if I was you, I'd show up on TV in a suit and tie and say, look, I just did this, you know, to get my message out. Maybe talk about these issues. You're free to use some of these clips as we sit here and discuss today, because when we politically show up in a suit and tie, when we politically say we're mainstream and the establishment is bad, think about how much we discredit the system by showing them in black ski mask. Does that discredit the New World Order to have their goon police in secret police outfits, with automatic weapons? Is that not an image of evil and oppression? Do people not instinctively not like that, Pale Horse?
It seems that way, you know, but I think people sometimes focus too much on image and they need to focus more on the message. And once again, you know, I'm not giving a hateful message.
But I took my kids to Schlitterbahn yesterday and they had the Congo ride and it was supposed to be scary with a African mask going, you know, meant to make it fun and scary. And so when you do that, that's what it's tailor-made. That's why they said this is perfect. Now, because you didn't say a bunch of bad stuff, they didn't show much of what you had to say. Again, I'm not here preaching at you. I'm just for all the militia, for all of us, this is a great teaching tool today. And maybe people disagree with me. Maybe I should do the show. You know, one time I did a show in a black ski mask and camo. In fact, pull that up, Alex Jones, Global Love Cop. But I did it as them, to discredit them. You understand?
Yeah.
See, when I did a Joker, I did it as pro-New World Order to discredit them. And it was pointed at kind of the dumbed-down masses. And again, I'm not some master propagandist. I've had to learn how the enemy operates. I use truth, okay, but I still will use some imagery more and more. Like used to, I would just come in here in a T-shirt for the TV show, and I said, no, I'll buy a couple sports jackets and some shirts because it's more effective. It's all presentation. I'm not on some high horse here, pale horse, pun intended. I mean, there I am in a black ski mask from like 1997, 98. And then we locally found the tape and re-aired it back in 05. But I'm a SWAT team, New World Order, national police officer in this video. And I'm talking about how wonderful it's going to be to take your guns and you stage terror to bring in a New World Order.
Yeah.
And so see, I'm not on a high horse here with you. I'm saying when I did this, it was to discredit the establishment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, when I first put this video up that got attention, all this attention, you know, I mean, I just had no idea what was to come. I mean, there's millions of videos on YouTube, and I never thought in a million years that mine would be singled out, you know, and I was happy to see that it was getting a lot of hits and things like that. And but then it just kind of snowballed and kind of exploded in my face. And, you know, I mean, I am a little worried about, you know, being raided at any moment by the ATF or someone like that, you know. But the fact is that, you know, I'm not doing anything illegal. And, you know, I guess I went.
You are not going to be raided, but they don't care. They will come in. The BATFE is the most corrupt agency out there. Literally, going back to their revenuer days when they were the whiskey tax police, they're the first illegal federal police force. Except for the U.S. Army, they were the first. But the issue is they will come in your house. They will modify that Uzi and send you to prison. They will put a pipe bomb on you, knock your teeth out, put you in a vehicle, drive you around, and diesel you till your feet explode in your shoes. I mean, these guys kill cops. You know who they send? More and more, it looks like FBI didn't kill Terrence Yankee, the police officer in Oklahoma City. It looks like BATF, now BATFE, killed him. So let me tell you, you want to deal with hardcore murderers who enjoy killing people. You don't want to deal with the BATFE. These are hardcore murderers on average. Some of them investigate fires and explosives. But the special political division they've got is the most criminal group you can imagine. I would put the semi-auto Uzi at your parents' house or your cousin's for a while. I would come out, clean cut in a suit, explain why you did it, explain, but again, that's your opinion. And I don't think they're going to come after you now that you've been on this show. If they were allowed to start using you as a poster boy, which they may start doing, then they may bust you and set you up. I'm just warning you.
And I've been told, you know, by some of the people in the militia movement that I'm friends with, you know, I'm like, CNN contacted me and, you know, this producer from CNN, and she wanted to talk with me, and he's like, don't do it. You know what I mean? He's saying,
yeah, they will distort anything and everything you say.
They could try to make me the next Timothy McVeigh. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what Tim McVeigh worked for special forces, confirmed. It's come out in federal documents. He was videotaped at military camps years after he was supposedly out. He thought he was an anti-militia movement, deep cover. And he thought he was running a BATFE sting, and they set him up and then drugged him and then threatened to kill his family if he didn't go along with it.
And the same thing with Oswald, you know.
Exactly. CIA on record, congressional testimony. We have a CIA control number. He worked at top secret U-2 spy plane facilities in Japan. Absolutely. I mean, even if you worked for them, they'll burn you. I'm just saying, don't play into their hands, but not just you. No one else out there. If you want to go out with your buddies and dress in camo for rural operations, if you ever have to defend the Republic, fine, that's great. But most operations should be how to infiltrate peacefully. An operation is going to city council, getting signed in, going in, rallying people in a three-minute speech. The feds are taking over. The foreign banks are taking over our city. Please support me. Meet me at the back here after the city council meeting. Let's form a citizens group to fight this takeover. And being in a suit and tie, forming a group, having rallies, having demonstrations, starting a radio show, starting a website, putting up flyers, and then having an auxiliary shooting club, getting a member that has a piece of property, somebody who's established in the community that owns a feed store or a car wash, who you know is not a Fed, going out and training, Second Amendment for America. Just right out in the open, red, white, and blue T-shirts on, and then you're mainstream. Then we get the military and police. Then we take over. Then we get the republic back. We take back over from the New World Order. You understand how this works?
Yes, definitely.
And look, none of us are perfect. I've been a wild man all these years, and more I realize that the theatrics got me a giant audience. But more and more now that I am this leader, I've got to go to the next level and control myself, Pale Horse.
Yeah, and I've heard people call you a Fed before, you know what I mean? So,
well, that's what the Feds do. That's their favorite. See, they got a lot of different tools. But a Fed doesn't tell you you've got power. A Fed doesn't tell you to peacefully get involved. A Fed doesn't tell you to not creep around in the shadows. A Fed tells you to hide in the dark, not stand up in the light. Okay? And then look at the fruits. Look at how I've woken up the majority of people. Stay there.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
It is an info
nobody
war.
Nobody wants to know him.
And there's a careful balance. We don't want to be so into image
and he never gives
that we're mainstream, that our knees are knocking and we're scared to even reach out to people and have to have some communications director that crafts everything. Be wild, get angry, be focused, be serious, be happy. You know, it the world takes all different kinds to operate. It's just the Feds operate in secrecy. They love secret militias that get seduced into doing things illegal. So the minute you're ever in a militia and hear somebody say, let's go case out the police station, you know immediately that's a federal informant. And ladies and gentlemen, we have them at restaurants and bars and on vacation and everywhere I go. It happens to my producers. It happens when our guys go to an event and sell videos while I'm giving a speech. You know, they come up and say, let's go attack cops. You can follow them outside. Sometimes they're even in an unmarked police car. They're there. And they will plant stuff on you. They've done this to a lot of other people, especially the Michigan militia, was just riddled with Feds. And a lot of deep cover Feds. And so I just warn people about that. If you join the Appleseed groups or local shooting groups, that's great. Or with your friends, start a local military history group or shooting club or hunting club. Just, we're going to defend America. We're going to follow the Bill of Rights Constitution, like Oath Keepers say. And we've gotten to the point now where all these former governors and Governors Association people and former members of Congress and current members of Congress are saying the government plans on creating martial law, on putting 400,000 troops on the streets. I mean, it's now mainstream. This isn't 1995 when the Feds could just bomb a building and blame us and then shut us down. That's over. But they're still going to try it. And so I want to warn people that the Feds are planning to bomb themselves and then try to go arrest some people. And I want to just let people know that this is very real. And if we don't stand up and say no to the globalists, they're going to take America and the world down into this neo-fascist eugenicist system, this planetary government that's going to carry out the eugenics, as the White House science czar says in eco-science. So this isn't a game or a drill. And none of us are up to the challenge. You know, life is very tough in many ways. But even though none of us are perfect, none of us are up to it, we got to be up to it. You know, the establishment, they're not invincible either. So even though we think we're not up to the challenge, we are. Pale Horse, final comments in the last minute and a half we've got.
Basically, I just want to tell everyone to keep waking people up. And, you know, if you do want to train with the militia group, like he was saying, you know, don't get involved in anything that you wouldn't believe to be kosher or something that could get you in trouble. And I myself have never done anything like that. You know, I just do simple paramilitary training.
Have you ever had people, though, ask and say, hey, you think we ought to get violent? Think we ought to hit first?
Honestly, no.
Well, see, that's another problem with the feds. There are so many militias, so many more now than there were in the 90s, and also lessons learned in the 90s, that there are just militias everywhere that are real and secret. And I'm saying it's good to have some that are secret, some that are lone wolf, as they're called, and some that are public. But, I mean, do you see the need for a public movement?
Well, you know, my group's been public. I myself, you know, remained anonymous. But, you know, I've had a website for years. And, you know, like I said, I have a MySpace channel and a YouTube channel. So, you know, my group is not underground whatsoever.
Well, it takes all kinds. Pale Horse, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
In T-minus 1 hour, we've got a big, big guest lined up. I'm pretty excited about it. So that is coming up. I want to say that I didn't comment on Pale Horse last week when he was on national news because I didn't want to say the guy was a Fed without looking into it, you know, with a voice changer with, I am the Pale Horse, and, you know, his lieutenant behind him. Because I knew, because of the media archetypal image, that he may have picked up on that from past stage government videos. Though I did tell my crew, it may be a Fed, probably is. But once we talked to him off air and on air, more and more it sounded like he was somebody that wasn't. And so we appreciate him coming on. If he is a Fed, he's one of the best actors I've ever seen. The Feds are very evasive, very weird, probably wouldn't have come on the air. I've just been around so many of them. I've been confronted by so many of them that I've learned. If he is one, he is CIA level. And I don't think that's the case. So, but we did have a good learning experience there. But I went over stacks of news earlier about white supremacists being feds, militia commanders being feds, trying to set people up. Kalamazoo white supremacist rally was organized by FBI informant. There's one. Here's Salon. Neo-Nazis are in the army now, including commanders. Yeah, that's staged. White supremacist radio host Al Turner was FBI informant. As hackers claimed a year ago, the FBI admitted it in court. So we've got those articles. And here's a new one. Now, I told you, I haven't done the math on it, but I've never seen a swastika put on a black congressman's congressional office, or a swastika put on a synagogue, or a swastika put on a, or a KKK put on a black dorm student's door. I've never seen one that didn't turn out to be staged by the ADL, by the Southern Poverty Law Center, or by the students themselves wanting attention. I mean, how many women say they've been raped when they haven't been? It's a well-known phenomenon. Or they get drunk, have sex with somebody, and then say you raped them. I mean, that is very, very, very prominent. I'm not saying there aren't real rapes that go on. When a woman's really raped, they tend to not tell anybody. That's the weird thing about psychology. But when they don't get raped, then they go and say you raped them. But this is a very widespread. I have found in media dealing with women, we've had women and men, if you disagree with them in any way, or somebody didn't pay you for 1,000 videos, you ship them, or you tell somebody, hey, don't lie about me, they'll just say immediately, you threatened to kill me. So now I've learned to always have witnesses. You know, when I'm sitting there, I'll talk to somebody on speakerphone with like 4 people in the room, and then the person doesn't know it. Then they say, it's incredible, folks. I didn't know people were this low. But it is people that think they're weak, women, minorities, and others, but white men do this as well, make up stuff. They false flag themselves. They stage terror attacks on themselves. I'll tell you, I grew up white guy in Texas and never heard anybody say the N-word, except for some neighbors we had down the street who were from Louisiana, and they would joke and say it they were preacher's kids. And one of them, when he got excited, like my mom would say, we've got movie tickets to take you guys to Star Wars. And one of them would go, I love the devil. It was like, you know, like the most rebellious things he could say, you know, as a preacher's kid, you know, the neighbor kid from down the street. He was that type of like saying something taboo. I mean, like if one day he got a new motorcycle when he was like 10 and he got all excited and said, I love the devil. They weren't devil worshipers. It was a taboo. What, Hartman, you don't know about preachers' daughters, how wild they are? It's like well known. Oh, you know about that. Okay. Well, here it is. Man pleads guilty to racial slur using fake Facebook account. An African-American man has pled guilty after being accused of impersonating white supremacists in a fictitious Facebook account to make death threats against African-American university students. And we've caught people doing this to us. So, Webster Tarpley coming up. Stay with us.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Webster Griffin Tarpley, we've got him for an hour because we have a surprise guest next hour. And boy, I do mean surprise. And that guest is only with us for 30 minutes. So in the last 30 minutes, I will do a focused report, I promise, on the government will hype swine flu outbreak to save Obamacare, warns Dick Armey. We have Congressman Brown saying they're going to use it to stage martial law. We have the Governor's Association sending a letter to Congress and the Department of Defense saying you can't put regular army to patrol America. 400,000 total end to posse comitatus, total military dictatorship. It is now actually happening here in the good old U.S. of A. So that is coming up and how that ties into all these flu vaccine deaths, Guillain-Barré's disease, a bunch of others. It is all coming up today in the last 30 minutes after our surprise guest. But for the balance of this hour, Webster Griffin Tarpley's on. I was going to have him on for 2 hours today, but we had to switch our top guest. Webster will probably be back the next week with Nothing But Solutions. But I want him to give us a taste of those at the end of this hour. But right now, talking to Webster Griffin Tarpley, I wanted to go into the second front opening up, not just conservatives and anti-big government people waking up in the town hall meetings, and his approval ratings dropping 3 points last week. Depending on which poll you look at, he has a 47 at the top to a 42 at the bottom with Gallup and Rasmussen and all these other polls. We've got them linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But I wanted to feed into Tarpley's political brain data I've noticed as well and get his take on that after we talk about the second front and his idea of getting Cindy Sheehan while Obama's on vacation for a month. They're always planning something when that happens to go out and confront him or go out and stand in front of the White House to try to reignite that attention and show people that she just wasn't this leftist figure and that she was discarded as soon as she actually really tried to end the war. But Webster, I understand you talk about what you've researched and what you know, but clearly you see them saying militias are about to attack, gun owners are about to attack, all gun owners are basically white supremacists that hate black people, and they're going to, you know, the DHS reports demonizing gun owners, returning veterans. Now they're saying that, well, let me just finish this. Now they're saying that they're planning to stage terror attacks, they're hyping all this. And I see the Obama counter, I'm just going to tell you right now, not just being flu pandemic being their cover, unless we expose it, but staging Oklahoma-style attacks domestically to shore up support for a foreign operation or maybe finally completing the Clinton-era stage terror of finally saying the homegrown terrorists are working with Al-Qaeda, a plan, a script they planned to go with in 95 but backed off of and just went with the homegrown. So I see this in the cards. I see this in the tea leaves as I stand over the cauldron here. I'm asking you, with that data, are you not seeing this chatter or do you have a comment?
Well, I would certainly say that if you go back to the 1990s, the militias were heavily infiltrated and to some degree a project. Some of them were founded by the FBI and by the domestic counterintelligence and counterinsurgency apparatus. And if you look in my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, I've got a whole thing in there about, in particular, activities of British intelligence, because this was the playground in particular of British intelligence inside the U.S. And the advantage of using the British is that they're not susceptible to U.S. congressional investigations. In other words, you can do operations at arm's length. Often the British invite the U.S. to come into the United Kingdom and do things for them, and the U.S., the CIA, and so forth will invite the British to come over here.
Exactly.
And do things.
They also use Andreas Strassmeyer, whose father was a top SS general. It later turned out he was secret police anti-terror squad from Germany. They brought him to honcho the white supremacist and McVeigh and others out of Elohim City. That came out in FBI documents. So I knew you'd be up on this. I know Synthetic Terror covers it. It's now coming out that Hal Turner was an FBI informant. The FBI admits that in court. It's now turning out that almost all these major white supremacist groups are not infiltrated, but run by the feds, by the British, by the Germans, and by Israel. Israel is also, you'll have these white supremacist commanders with classic, you know, Jewish archetypal Ashkenazi features. I've been to some of these events to protest them, and it's like, my God, there's the ADL on stage, like Adam Gadan, the Al-Qaeda leader, you know, ADL grandson, you know, this grandson of the ADL head. Arrested for beating up Muslims, and then suddenly he joins and he's the guy fighting Al-Qaeda. So great points. Elaborate on that, because I see them rolling that out now.
Well, the Ku Klux Klan, just to focus on them, the Ku Klux Klan is, as far as I can see, a wholly owned subsidiary of the FBI and nothing but. So this is an apparatus of domestic provocateurs, and you're very right to say now the way that the ideological conflict is going, right? The ideological fronts are turning once again, and there obviously is a temptation to begin this demonization. And when you see that Southern Poverty Law Center getting into the act, that is a group of shills, basically. They are paid apologists. They are there to provide some kind of a halfway plausible academic-sounding explanation for whatever the counterinsurgency line inside the United States may happen to be. So the fact that they point to this, we also have the Secretary of Homeland Security, Napolitano, otherwise known as Totalitariano, and her idea that, right, the veterans and the right-wingers and all this. So that's the atmospheric, and then you get a certain number of patsies, right? Look out for patsies, because that's always how it's done. And, you know, the attempt to try to mesh, you know, Al-Qaeda shows up somewhere in North Carolina or whatever this is, right, and they're all from the FBI, I think that indicates a possible direction. I don't think it's conclusive, but the more you talk about it, the better it is, right? The more this is ventilated and aired and people are inoculated, tell people that if this happens, this is 99.99% guaranteed to be a top-down false flag operation using patsies, using moles inside the government, and then using those technicians, right? If any big, heavy operations have to be done, they're going to have to use government resources, so that will require the presence of technicians and moles to bring that about. So it's a classical typology of what's going on. I don't think that's the only one, because there are competing priorities, right? There's a great desire to get something going vis-a-vis somebody, right? Be it Sudan or Pakistan,
now, let me stop
or
you there.
Russia or China.
I want to look at the geopolitical operations outside North America, and I agree, they're going to hit us all. They're going to have stage terror overseas, stage terror domestically. They're going to have other economic crises, hyped up environmental crises, biological, medical. I agree, Webster. That's why I wanted to get your take on this. But when I interrupted you earlier, the British really are the masters of divide and conquer great game. That was even Orwell's job as a member of the Imperial Police, as you know, when he grew up in India, before he had his first awakening to one level of the control paradigm. But expanding on that, Webster, it was the British, now declassified and admitted, as you know, but the listeners may not, that staged over 90% of the terror attacks in Northern Ireland and in England. And it turned out that you would have the top three guys in the military IRA were all British intel, and that they were actually killing lower members of IRA if they wouldn't go out and kill British policemen as a pretext to stay in Northern Ireland. So it's very, very elementary to keep occupation imperial forces in the country, to occupy the United States with federal troops. They're going to need to stage terror to have the pretext that there's some type of hidden phantom menace that they're fighting. And you're right. We have tracked British intel. I've actually had to deal years ago with attempted British intel insertion into our operation. And I want the British to know we were aware of that. I'm now revealing this for the first time. Go ahead.
Well, in my book, again, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, I tell the story of Agent Steak Knife. He was codenamed Steak Knife, and this was somebody that the MI5, MI6 had put into the top levels of the IRA, and his job was to kill people. And they also had agents in this other side, right? The Protestant counter gang to the IRA counter gang.
The Orange.
Right. The Orange. In this case, it's the Protestant extremist group. So they were orchestrating a series of homicides, and this went right up to Thatcher. In other words, Thatcher was absolutely informed of everything. Wonderful Maggie Thatcher, the goddess of the neocons, and so many others, and the goddess of the free marketeers too, because they think she was the embodiment of their policies. I guess she was. She was actively running these kinds of operations.
I just wanted to point out to listeners, this is a fact that governments do this, and it's a historical fact, so we need people to realize this is an official Army field manuals that we showed people last week. We're just talking about something as a matter of fact as hammers and saws and lawnmowers being available at Home Depot. We're stating that ducks swim around in ponds or that fish swim around in lakes. I hope listeners understand what you're stating is a historical fact, Webster.
Yeah, this is probably the most documented historical fact that we can bring to bear. I mean, it's been confirmed, hundreds of times and maybe thousands of times. Like going back, my God, to the ancient world. So I don't think there's any doubt about it. And the implication of Thatcher in this stuff, and we can go back to the cases now in the United States, right, the various stunts that have been done, and as time goes on, you get more and more background. So certainly, if there's terrorism, look to the intelligence agencies, because that's the matrix.
Our guest is Webster Griffin Tarpley. We'll look at the geopolitical front, then we're going to get a little bit more into eugenics and then some solutions. And I promise, next week, Webster Tarpley, full hour on nothing but solutions. But things are moving so fast, they could stage a terror attack before the next time he's on. We got to cover this. In the last 30 minutes of the show, I'm also going to break down the incredible success of the Obama poster campaign. Hey, I'm flattered. Cindy Sheehan was listening to the show when I was talking about Webster. I don't know if Webster's really involved. I talked to him the other day. Talked to him Sunday. Talked to him yesterday, and he said, I'm trying to get Cindy Sheehan to go confront Obama. We need to fund her. We need to get behind her. And here I am doing Tarpley invitations while he's on with us. We love Tarpley around here because I see him so much. He's in the last Obama film. I've known him for years. He's in the new Obama film. So I look at Tarpley every day. We interview him all the time. He's kind of like a little mascot, our little Leonardo da Vinci of the Liberty Movement here at the office. I have another nickname for Tarpley, but anyways, Tarpley,
Alex, if I may, just one thing, just a correction. Cindy Sheehan is going because she decided to go. I simply had gotten an email saying that she wanted to go and that she wanted to assemble the prerequisites. So I was simply reporting that. So this is all coming from her.
Okay, great. Yeah, because, I talked to you during a one-minute part of a break when you were on with Burma, so I just heard you saying, get Sheehan, support her, get her to go to wherever Obama's vacationing. And I was like, okay, so, but pointless to argue about that. The point is she's coming on in 10 minutes for 5 minutes with you, Webster. The issue is she's wonderful. Listening right now.
Wonderful. And again, let me say, this is the credit all goes to her. Nothing to do with me.
Okay, well, nobody cares about that. That's fine, Webster.
Although I welcome it. I think everybody, let me call now. Everybody should support this. Everybody should go support her. This is a wonderful thing. And this is now the, if you want to somehow break into this, you know, right-wing polarization that you're talking about in the earlier part, right, the idea of using the demonization of, you know, conservatives or whoever they are, right, people that are considered right-wingers, then the obvious way to do that is the rebirth of the peace movement and people that would generally be considered leftists, because this is harder to demonize. And that's what I've always said, is that attacks against Obama coming from his left are much more effective than the kind of stuff you've seen.
Well, that's why the Obama deception, that's why the Obama deception, Webster, is so important, is because it doesn't attack from the left or right. It attacks from common sense, populist, constitutionalist, and shows how both parties are controlled by these corrupt banks. And then the partisanship all ends and people instantly break their conditioning. But look, she's coming up next segment in about 15 minutes. So I want to get into the second front opening up against Herr Obama then. Right now, we were talking about false flag, the ace in the hole that the establishment has to play on us. You were talking about outside the country. What geopolitical regions are we looking at? Central Asia, Middle East, Europe? Where will the establishment stage terror next?
Well, it's obviously anybody's guess, but if we look at Afghanistan, the big operation by Obama right now is the massive escalation of the war in Afghanistan. And he's put a guy in there, General McChrystal, who is someone who is certified to have created a network of torture chambers across Iraq. When you think of Obama's rhetoric in running for president, makes this whole thing extremely laughable, really a bitter, macabre irony. So Obama's hand-picked commander to go into Afghanistan, replacing the previous general, who was simply McKiernan, who was simply thrown out, right, very brusquely, and a lot of people in the Pentagon very angry about that, the way it was done. This guy's a special forces utopian, so that means that he's into doing things like working with the Taliban, working with al-Qaeda, working with various warlords and so forth. The danger there, of course, is that with the 10-year war perspective and the losses that are now escalating, some countries may want to drop out. How could you stop them from dropping out? Well, you could, for example, if the British are about to drop out, then maybe some staged event regarding Britain could
replay be, of 7/7. The British
like this, right,
are about to pull out of Glen Eagles. Boom. Go ahead.
And continental Europe also. So that would be one opportunity. The other thing would be if the breakup of Pakistan is taking too long, then something involving a group that advertises itself as coming from inside Pakistan, and they have them, right? Now, the Taliban are basically Pashtunistan. That's one of the components of Pakistan. And then you have Balochistan, right? In Balochistan, they have this Jundullah. So Jundullah comes on the scene. That's a U.S.-British-run operation, and therefore you can go into Pakistan based on that. Or how about Sudan, right? There's a lot of bad blood. General Bashir, the head of state, has been indicted by the International Criminal Court, but the entire African Union has rejected the International Criminal Court as a bunch of racist and colonialists. So if you want to get something started there, maybe a Sudanese terrorist would suit the bill.
Webster Tarpley, stay there. We'll come back, get into Obama's plunging approval ratings, then we'll talk about the peace activist second front, Obama's left flank. Cindy Sheehan's going to be popping in about 10 minutes. She just put out a new press release today. Cindy Sheehan to lead protest against wars near Obama's vacation spot on Martha's Vineyard. So a replay of what we saw with her out at Crawford. And as long as she was useful to the Democrats, she was great. But as soon as they got into power or were getting ready to and wanted to continue the wars, well, now, no. So that's coming up. Before we go back to Webster Griffin Tarpley, I've never had a T-shirt this popular. The Obama Socialist, Obama Fascist, Obama InfoWars.com, Obama New World Order. We have four different variants on the front. four different messages on the back, like in the Fed, stop the criminal, wake up before it's too late, with Infowars.com under it on the back, with Obama on the front. This upsets the establishment. They know the power of archetypal images. They want this loving, Leninesque image of him, hope and change. They do not want this image of him as a master criminal. Our contest went more viral than I could ever imagine. AP, Fox News, all over, international Spanish television out of Mexico. The posters printed off Infowars.com were put up in Tokyo, San Francisco, Rio de Janeiro. They were put up in Moscow. They were just wild. And it's still going on. They have the state attorney general in Florida investigating and calling it a hate crime and all this unbelievable bull. But you read the articles, the comments in the articles in the newspapers that with a straight face talk about the scared community, the victims of seeing the Obama poster on street corners. But the public's finding all the statements of Obama thanking his supporters for putting up his picture on stop signs, which is illegal. We haven't called for that. We've said do it in legal and lawful areas. They're aware that this is hypocrisy. They're aware that Bush was shown as a vampire and as a joker by yours truly as well, not just the media. And there was none of this ninnying and hand-wringing and at the demigod, the Fuhrer, the one, the chosen one. And so what happened is the public saw them ripping them down all over and went crazy and put up 10 times, 20 times more. So it's out of my hands now. It's way past the contest. We'll announce the winner and show you the videos Friday. Videos are still pouring in, hundreds and hundreds of videos. It's unbelievable of people putting the posters up. Webster, before we get into the second front opening up against the Obamanoids and the globalist establishment, is it important to pull down his image and to defile him as the image of our Lord and Savior so that he can't be this tool to carry out this agenda? Is it American to put up posters of him in a bad light, or should we be arrested for that?
I think it's a tremendous tradition of democratic expression to engage in political caricature, and that can become quite vigorous and quite robust. And I would vote for the fascist one, because I think that is the one that is technically accurate and most damaging. Because remember, Obama lives on left cover. He's got to be seen as a progressive, a leftist. He's got to be seen as a friend of the masses, somebody who cares about the poor, who cares about the people who don't have health insurance, who cares about people who are denied medical care. This is the key to his entire racket. And I've talked to leftists, and they say, we have to be nice to Obama because we're going to court him and curry favor with him, and we're going to get our little cause advanced, whatever it is that they're interested in. And I always say, this is exactly wrong. The way you deal with Obama from the left in particular is you criticize him mercilessly. You expose him. You attack him. You caricature him. You tear away this aura and show him for what he is. In other words, political realism. Since he needs that left cover, if you begin to strip away the left cover, then he's got to do something. He's got to give you concessions. He's got to throw you a shuck. The lesbian, gay, transgender people, when they were boycotting a fundraiser that Obama had set up so they would come and give him money, they found that they were able to get concessions from Obama immediately. He gave them same-sex marriage partner rights for certain federal employees in a limited way, but certainly it was a step forward for them. And I think that's paradigmatic. If you're the peace movement and you want to do something about these war policies, the only thing to do is get into the field and begin to criticize Obama, attack him, right? From the point of view of the media, vilify him, certainly. The same thing with Bush. I mean,
and Webster, and show the hypocrisy. They had the CPAC meeting this year. Ron Paul spoke. All your most staunch Republican supporters there. They were cheering and standing, the majority of them, when he said it's not Republican to have wars, these wars were wrong, showing most Republicans aren't pro-war. That illusion shattering, same thing with Democrats now. They've got to stand up at how outrageous. Total number of troops in countries is up. Total number of dead is going back up again. How did you know this, though? Because back during the campaign, you said left cover is what he needs. Only an attack from the left will help. He will love a Limbaugh. He will make Limbaugh his enemy. And then it turned out White House memos came out that they love making it about a Limbaugh as they run against him, discredited with the Viagra and the hillbilly heroin, the OxyContin, you know, all the weirdness and all the craziness and him drugged out of his mind at CPAC. And I mean, you were right about that. And so you're absolutely right. They need to not just have left cover. They want to run him against the more buffoonish type Republicans.
Certainly people like Limbaugh, Hannity are viewed as ogres by probably 2/3, maybe somewhat less than 2/3 now. I think, you know, I disagree with them totally, especially on economics. But that's another story. If you can play yourself, if it's a choice between Obama and Limbaugh, then Obama's going to win by 70-30 or 80-20 or whatever it is. It's going to be a small and vocal minority that will go with Limbaugh. So as long as you can define that as the universe of discourse, then Obama wins. Now, the critical thing about the second front, Obama is in Phoenix, Arizona today, I believe. This is the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention. There is an anti-war protest contingent there. So I think the palm goes to them. I think this is, as far as I can see, the first significant anti-war demonstration anywhere is taking place in Phoenix, Arizona today. So hats off to those guys. I hope they're vigorous. Generally, it takes a while for people to realize the cynicism and the warmonger commitment of Obama. Remember, Obama ran as the biggest warmonger, bigger than McCain, bigger than Hillary, bigger than Bush. He was the one who said, I want the unilateral bombing of Northwest Pakistan with no consultation of the government. We want to kill Pakistanis on the territory.
But it's worse than that. He didn't just run as a big warmonger. He early on got the pole position and got noticed and came to the fore by being super anti-war. I'm going to end the Iraq war immediately. Then it was 16 months and 23 months, and then they rewrote cities so bases wouldn't be in the cities, a semantical game. He rotated troops out of Iraq, those that did leave, to Afghanistan. Now he's replacing the troops in Iraq. So duplicity, lying, twisting, all the things you've talked about. Then he flip-flopped right into the campaign the last few months saying, I'm going to be where we need to be. And as you said, now a huge new war in Afghanistan. Is that over those pipelines? Or they've got to know it's a war they're not going to win.
No, it's not a war to win. It's a war to create chaos. And remember, the escalation of Afghanistan is a function of the plan to destroy Pakistan, to break it up into mini-states and micro-states, right? The five components, Sindh, Punjab, Balochistan, Pashtunistan, Waziristan, or tribal areas, whatever you want to call that. And the goal there is that this is a Chinese ally. Remember, the battlefield is now the Indian Ocean, from Africa to Bangladesh to Pakistan, over to Thailand, right? We got Suu Kyi in Burma and an anti-Chinese function. So the idea is anybody who is friendly with China is now a target. Anybody who wants normal commercial relations, wants to sell oil, sell minerals, sell strategic raw materials, do deals with the Chinese, you become an enemy of civilization. You become, in effect, a terrorist, except now you're going to be more than a terrorist. You're going to be a human rights abuser. You're going to be a nuclear proliferator. You're going to be a humanitarian disaster. So that's the targeting of
Okay,
Pakistan.
Stay there, Webster. We're going to get back into what's happening geopolitically in about 5 minutes. But I wanted, since you brought up the fact of it's great that she was considering, you'd heard, going out and speaking out, because now that archetypal image of Cindy Sheehan to expose the foundation, big money run, fake war movement, and to expose Obama for what he is, she's put out a press release. Cindy Sheehan to lead protest against wars near Obama's vacation spot on Martha's Vineyard. Let's get this up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Guys, please have Rob Due tell the webmasters to post this. And everybody, go there and expose him as a warmonger. Cindy Sheehan, great to have you pop in with us today.
Hey, Alex. Always nice to be on with you.
Always good to have you here. Okay, in a nutshell, tell us where you're going, what you're doing.
Well, I heard back in June that Obama would be vacationing on Martha's Vineyard in August, so we've been trying to put together you know, a protest against him. And finally, everything came together this weekend where it looks like we'll be able to go out there. Part of the problem, and I heard you guys talking about it a little bit, is that the so-called anti-war movement doesn't want to have anything focused on Obama against the occupations and the wars of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq. And, you know, Iraq's not over yet. And so anyway, we've come up against some considerable resistance from the left. But then over this past week, when it looks like, this fake debate about health care and, you know, all these, the right playing into the hands of the Democratic Party that doesn't want to give a public option for health care. And so it looks like the White House is caving into that. And I'm like, well, why don't we on the left, the anti-war left, go out and exert pressure on him to start bringing the troops home from the Middle East and actually to, enforce some kind of same foreign policy instead of all these, and I think that, of course, the wars are for chaos, but the wars are also for profit. So we have to exert the same kind of pressure, because if Obama can fold to the right, why can't he also fold to the left?
Well, Cindy Sheehan, of course, lost her son over in Iraq, and has one of the big iconic image the last 6-7 years exposing these fraudulent wars of hegemon. How do we expose the fact that the anti-war movement is foundation funded and demand that they stand up to Obama? I mean, I guess we do what you're doing, go out and expose that fraud, or any other ideas of how we can get that done?
Well, I certainly think that we have to remain consistent and pure and try not to be co-opted by the same forces that co-opted many large anti-war groups in this country. And so we need to just stay pure and stay focused. And this isn't getting quite the attention that going out to the Bush Ranch got. So, there's a lot of false debates going on, so we need to redirect it where the debate needs to be, and that's ending this empire, this military-industrial empire. And we can't get anything else done in this country until that happens. And so hopefully when I go out to Martha's Vineyard, like when I went to Crawford, Texas, the press will be there. People will start being able to hear that message. There's many people on the so-called left that still think Obama is some kind of a peace person. So that really needs to be exposed, and that myth.
Well, that's because his election obviously has been used to totally get all these issues off the table. It's la-la land. The establishment craftily did that, making the war like it was just Bush's and not the establishment that controls both these presidents. But Cindy, overall, and I want to get Webster's comment on this, the incredible drop of Obama. His
right.
Polls have gone from the 80s to the mid-40s now. He lost 3 points last week, lowest approval rating of any president 8 months into their administration. Are you worried about him staging any type of crises or terror attack like we saw from Bush as a pretext to try to continue this agenda?
Well, that's a concern that we always have to worry about, but that doesn't mean that we, quit our activism or quit speaking the truth to the power, that we have to go forward and we have to, first of all, I support 100% the 9/11 truth movement, and I support the ballot initiative in New York City to get a new investigation going. But that's one thing that needs to be exposed over and over and over again, is how our governments do have these, I don't know who caused 9/11. I know you guys know. I don't know who caused it. But over and over and over again, we have these, so-called disasters that get us into one war after the other, but not just wars. Having our civil liberties taken away here at home. So those things, we just have to keep talking about it, and we can't let them get away with another event like that.
Well, Ms. Sheehan, you know that it came out about Gulf of Tonkin and all these other staged events. It's in Army manuals.
Well, you start calling me Ms. Sheehan.
Miss.
Cindy?
Yeah, Cindy. I'm thinking about staged events, though. We know about Gulf of Tonkin. We know about other events.
Right.
We know Cheney did want to blow up U.S. ships and blame it on Iran.
Right.
So I would just, I think we defeat their false flag by pointing out that they may engage in false flag. And
I agree with you.
And by not letting them play us off against each other in the left-right paradigm, which is very, very hard to do as they polarize things. Webster, any questions or comments for Cindy Sheehan?
I think that's wonderful news. And the only question I have is, Cindy, how can people support you? Is there a website? Is there a PayPal? How can people link up and how can they support you financially?
That's an awesome question. You can go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com. There's a donate button. And if you do use PayPal, my account is Cindy at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. And we just have to use all the tools that we have to expose the, you know, the robber class that I call them. It's all about the robber class, and it's all about this divide. Bush and Obama are both members of it. And it's not about the person. It's about the system, and it's about the policies.
Exactly. The president, the personality becomes the distraction, the diversion from the real debate and the real issues. Well, hopefully we can get you to pop in then when you're out there demonstrating from Martha's Vineyard. Thank you so much, Cindy Sheehan. We'll get it up on the website.
Thank you.
God bless you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Webster, we're going to come back, closing 5 minutes from you. Then we've got our surprise guest scheduled coming up in the final hour today. I will just leave it at that for everybody. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Our websites are PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com. We're streaming live right now at PrisonPlanet.tv.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't nice.
Again, I do hope everybody visits InfoWars.com to get their Obama Joker posters. We also have one as Bush as the Joker. I haven't gone this far yet, but I would guess that Tarpley does agree that Obama as Hitler might be a fair comparison, or maybe Obama as Mussolini.
Mussolini,
we'll have you back up.
Is the adequate one.
Yeah, we'll have you back up next week to really get into solutions, I promise. If you can do it, we'll set
Absolutely.
The time up right.
But let me just maybe stress, if I could, that Cindy Sheehan is a great voice in a great cause, and now any peace activist in New England, if you're in Boston, if you're in New York City, you know what to do. It's time to make tracks towards Martha's Vineyard and exercise your First Amendment rights and protest these wars. And don't be fooled by left cover. And the way to do this is not to be exaggeratedly deferential, you know, please, dear Mr. President, we know you're a peace angel, but you haven't had time to listen to our pathetic little bleeding cries. Which is what the AWOL peace people have done, right? The people who have just disappeared. Now we've got the genuine leader of this movement coming forward, I think, quite effectively, saying that this has gone far enough, and it's time to take a stand. This is really going to hurt Obama, because how do you demonize Cindy Sheehan? You're not going to be able to say, you know, you come out with this load of insults. She was demonized by the neocons back in 2005, 2006. So what are they going to do? Demonize her now from the left? It doesn't work. So this is a significant factor now in Obama's predicament.
Yeah, well, Webster, what they're going to do is they're going to ignore her.
Well, they may look. The U.S. media may ignore her up to a point. But remember,
I agree. So the alternative,
the world media will be there. The Russians, the Chinese, the Al Jazeera, they're going to be highly interested. So this is going to have a worldwide effect, and I think that then kicks over back into the U.S. because when it becomes a story around the world, they can't ignore it here.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say there, is that we also, though, have to, as activists, getting past these political labels, say no and be involved here as well. Webster, I carry all four of your books for listeners. And we have the book on the economic cataclysm. We have the two books on Obama and the book Synthetic Terror, all available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Webster, as always, thank you so much. Webster's in our film, The Obama Deception. He's in the new film coming out in October. So, again, Webster, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Take care. There goes Webster. Okay. We had Alan Keyes last week, and he rescheduled a couple times, very busy. Our next guest rescheduled a couple times on us. We'll see if they show up for the show. They haven't rescheduled, so I believe we're about to have them on after we go to break here and come back. I do want to get one more sponsor out of the way that made today's show possible, and then we'll come back with our guest. And then the last 30 minutes, I'm going to get into the flu and all the other things that are happening. Acola Blue, acolablue.com, the super high-quality atmospheric water generator. Did you know you could be drinking fresh, clean water made right from the air you breathe? No, this isn't something out of a science fiction book. Our sponsor, Acola Blue, with a Acola Blue 28 machine will allow you to do just that. It's easy to use, and it will make up to 7.5 gallons a day out of pure thin air. The water, once generated, passes through a 7-stage filter process, including reverse osmosis and carbon filter techniques, ensuring that you know exactly what you're drinking, no chemicals or pollutants or fluoride. EcolaBlue.com, ECOLOBlue.com, or 1-800-691-6043, 1-800-691-6043, EcolaBlue.com. Fourth and final hour that'll be jam-packed straight ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, I really enjoy doing this syndicated radio show because I get to talk to so many neat people. And the new book is out. It's already a bestseller. Buzz Aldrin, Magnificent Desolation. And he really doesn't need much of an introduction. What a doctor, colonel in the military, one of the first guys to walk on the moon with Neil Armstrong. Just amazing. And I got his book about 2 weeks ago. I've read almost all of it. One of the best books by an astronaut I've read. I love the name, Magnificent Desolation. Here it is as we simulcast on the internet as well for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Buzz Aldrin, it's great to have you here with us.
I'm happy to be with you. Life is great. The sun is beginning to shine here in foggy L.A.
Absolutely, out there in Los Angeles. There is so much to get into. Why the name Magnificent Desolation?
Well, I wasn't given the challenge or really the opportunity of a formalized utterance on joining Neo on the surface of the moon. There was a little bit of conversation that included the word magnificent and then beautiful, and so the two words just came together as a comparison of opposites, and so I said Magnificent Desolation, and the magnificence really was referring to the progress of the human species from coming down from the trees to automobiles, airplanes, rockets, spaceships, and then journeying, and two people from the planet Earth walking around on that object that humans had gazed up and looked at for all of civilization. So that was a magnificent testimonial to the progress that this human intelligent species was able to do. But we were there at the most desolate site I could imagine. It had not changed in hundreds and thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, from just what we were looking at. The kind of rolling terrain, all shades of gray, maybe a couple of more centimeters of dust accrued in hundreds of thousands of years, 14 days of daylight, then darkness, No atmosphere, black sky, Earth sitting up there, almost straight up, and then the sun moving over because of the moon's rotation about the Earth. Just a forbidding place, not at all friendly or hospitable. So well, it was desolate.
We've got a break in a moment. We've got a long segment coming up, plenty of time to go over the book, but I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously you had fear, concern on this mission, but what was it like to actually be there and actually carry out this dangerous mission? I mean, it's one thing to psychologically get ready for it, but another thing to actually be there.
Well, it was for several years, five, 6 years, the culmination of everything we had been working for. NASA, since 1961, when the president said that we should go to the moon, and my Air Force career, piloting and studying my doctorate at MIT and manned orbital rendezvous, was just all pointing toward some humans being able to get to the moon, and there I was about to be one of them. And it's not a fearful, not a scary, not a worrisome. We learn how to deal with those things just naturally by realizing that that fear, worry are all... Okay,
we've got a break. We've got a break, Mr. Aldrin. We'll be right back with Buzz Aldrin. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
He's Buzz Aldrin, second Homo sapiens sapien to walk on the surface of the moon. And he's got a long bio. He really doesn't need any introduction. But his new book is Magnificent Desolation. The website is buzzaldrin.com. We've got links to that up on my sites, Infowars.com, and the other sites, Infowars.net. Your book gets into your idea of a unified space mission or direction. I notice we haven't gone back to the moon except with probes since the early 70s, and you talk about that in the book as well. So tell us about your idea, you know, with a doctorate in all of this, and as one of the most famous astronauts, your vision of what you think we should do.
Yeah, it's as you just said, unified space vision. Not mission. It's many, many missions over a long period of time. And we came to a real tipping point with the accident of the Columbia on February 1st of 03. That left us with only three orbiters, and we had to solve the problem of the safety of continuing to fly the space shuttle and the unfinished space station. And what is the future going to be? Before that accident, NASA was considering flying the shuttle until 2020, another 10 years from now, and maybe even 2025. And now it looked as though that was just not a good thing to do. My engineers were trying to work the problem in coming up with a modified shuttle launch system that could take up a replacement of the shuttle orbiter to take people up, but not large amounts of cargo, at least in the same spacecraft. And we were looking, my group of engineers were also looking for what kind of a space vision should we have in the future. But the accident and NASA's studies during the summer, combined with the accident board, came up with a recommendation that that the cargo and crew be separated, but not just in the spacecraft, but on the launch vehicle. And I was concerned that that opened the door to have NASA develop two different rockets, one of them just for the crew and one of them just for the lander and the cargo, and I felt that was wrong. But NASA was pursuing sort of behind closed doors what they thought they should do for the future. And when they did come out with their vision for space exploration in January of 2004, it involved terminating the shuttle in 2010, finishing the space station, building spacecraft and rockets somehow to go back to the moon by 2020. I kind of went along with that. That sounded reasonable, but then as the progress in the launch vehicles that I disagreed with began to bog us down, I felt we need to look really closely examine why do we want to go back to the moon with humans when by the time we get there, it'll be 50 years from when we did it in 1969 and beyond. And shouldn't we be following the shuttle with something that has 6 to 8 people in it but no cargo and lands on a runway? And shouldn't we be doing other things for a long-duration space flight in the direction of Mars? Isn't that where we should try and go with our major resources?
Well, Dr. Aldrin, Buzz Aldrin, didn't Wernher von Braun draw up the space shuttle back in like the mid-30s, the idea for it? Isn't it ancient comparatively in the space age?
Well, yes. What he felt we needed correctly was a laboratory in space and a reusable way to have rockets and spacecraft take people and cargo up to the moon. But that's two things, and we couldn't build the laboratory till we had the shuttle, and the shuttle was not well designed in the first place by trying to put a crew in the reusable booster, so it had to be redesigned with solid rockets, and I didn't agree with that. And it ended up being quite a large vehicle to satisfy the Air Force needs for a big reconnaissance satellite and a one-orbit mission returning to the same place that that because of rotation moved 1,500 miles to the east.
Sure. Not to interrupt you, but in the time we have, we're reaching the halfway point here. Sure. I'm going to skip this network break. You cover a lot of this in Magnificent Desolation, which is a magnificent book. But something I saw you get really excited about was on C-SPAN. You talked about this monolith on the tiny potato-shaped moon of Mars. And I knew about its moon. I didn't know about this monolith. And you got really sparkly-eyed and animated about this. Tell us about this monolith and why you want to land on that moon first.
Well, I want to land on the moon first, whether it has a monolith or not, because it orbits around Mars in 7 hours and is quite close, much, much closer than our moon is to the Earth. And from that moon, people can control robots, rovers, all sorts of assembly processes, chemical processes, fuel processes, and other things on the surface without endangering the crew, and it's much easier to take people there, actually, than it is to take people to and from our moon. Because of the smallness of it, it takes longer to get there, and when you get there, you have to stay longer. So it's a significant challenge, but it is a major safe stepping stone before going to the surface of Mars, and can be approached in inspiring logical steps from low Earth orbit, doing things that increase our capability, some in the direction of our moon, but not landing on our moon. Instead, we have the experience to be the leaders of international nations, other nations, sending their astronauts or taconauts to land on the moon. And
so are you saying,
them.
Mr. Aldrin, that this should be an international mission?
Well, everything should be. The space station is international. We need refueling for going elsewhere in space, and that should be commercial, not not national, not government controlled, and that certainly means international. Now, the monolith just happens to be a location of a Marsology, not geology, feature that is a physical structure, but it is very, very curious, and it's quite close to where we would like to land. And Canadian studies extensively of going to Phobos for science, the science team has said, go for the monolith. So they think that is sufficiently scientifically attractive, and it's close to where you want to be to observe from there the planet Mars itself.
And well, Commander Aldrin, isn't this interesting? We have 2001 Space Odyssey. We have this, what looks like almost a perfect monolith on this moon. And then here you are, one of the first moonwalkers. When the Eagle lands, you're wanting to, you're on television saying we need to go there to see this monolith. You're saying it's very curious. And again, I saw your eyes light up on television. What is your gut this monolith is, or what are Marsologists saying it could be?
My opinion and the Marsologists' opinion don't guide public opinion and curiosity for the unusual and the bizarre. We need lots and lots of public discussion about the pros and cons of going anywhere.
No, I mean, certainly it's a way to get people interested. I see that. But okay, what do you think this is? I mean, tell me what your gut, or as a person, a doctor who studies this, what does this look like to you?
It's a big, big, tall rock. Now, I can say it looks like maybe a crude construction device by some creatures who practiced on Phobos and then landed in Egypt and built the pyramids. I don't really believe that, but some people are liable to think that.
Well, I'm looking at it. It's got what looks like really clean-cut edges, and it's got a smooth top. And I never even cover this stuff, Mr. Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin on the phone with us here from California. This is just amazing to have you and others talking about it. And I see all your excitement dealing with it. Let me ask you in this way. What do you believe the destiny of humanity is, because a lot of people feel like this species is far older than we even know. What do you believe man's destiny will be if we have the vision to go off-world? I mean, in a big way.
Well, I think sooner or later, the Earth is just liable to be impacted by something that we, as humans, with all our technology, could not prevent. And it would be a good idea, thousands of years maybe in the future, or 2 weeks in the future, to have a survivable off-planet species to keep things going. Not just for the benefit of unborn people, but think of the lives, the history that the human species has had here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that wiped out. It's not just the lives of the future.
Well, Dr. Aldrin, what was it, Saturn that got hit by Shoemaker-Levy, the big comet that broke up? I mean, they said if that hit the Earth, that would have basically killed all life on the planet, or at least knocked out our civilization.
No, that was Jupiter.
Jupiter, that's right, Jupiter.
Well, and we just might find indications of a very crude form of life that might have arisen at Mars and then been transported to Earth. So it might be the beginnings of life on Earth that thrived, whereas it died out on Mars.
Are you saying we might be Martians?
Well, we're a long evolution away, I don't believe that that means that there were rocket ships somehow that left Mars and landed here on Earth. And
but meteor impacts, you're saying, which we know send Martian rock here, could have brought it?
Yeah.
Or vice versa?
Yeah.
Going back, because that was so intriguing, you're saying it's similar to some of the things we see in Egypt? No.
I'm just saying
the obelisk.
There is a lot of conjecture as to who built the pyramids.
No, I understand.
I'm pretty well convinced that that they were slaves that were conned into building this edifice for the pharaohs,
yeah.
So the pharaohs could get to the other side in the Holy Land and put in a good word for all the slaves who built the pyramids.
Sure, I understand your view now.
You talk about a Ponzi scheme. That was the biggest con game I ever saw.
Again, Buzz Aldrin's our guest right now, author of Magnificent Desolation that I hold in my hand. What I'm getting at is this, and I respect you and I appreciate you coming on the show. I know we have advanced technologies. I know we have incredible men and women. I know we have amazing can-do spirit. We also know that there are a lot of secret military programs, a lot of advanced technology. We see astronauts hinting at it, hinting at knowing about things. And this is not even a UFO show. We just see other astronauts that say they've seen things out there. We've seen video from the space shuttle of things flying around. I was just wondering your view on life in the solar system outside Earth.
We have zero evidence of any life in our solar system other than that which we can observe here on Earth. And I think the distances involved to even the closest star, having written a detailed science fiction story about another civilization from Alpha Centauri that had compelling reasons to advance their technology and to visit the Earth, they failed in their efforts to do that for logical reasons. But I don't believe they exist there on Alpha Centauri, nor do I believe they exist on other places.
Sure, it's hypothetical.
A good story, but I believe the distances involved make it extremely improbable for any advanced life forms to be very close and within reach for star travelers from Earth for thousands and thousands of years.
However, what about fold space? What about
millions of years, I believe, that certainly creatures from Earth could have the technology to visit the closest star, Alpha Centauri, and other stars, if we have a good reason to do that. And the demise, the extinction of life on Earth probably is a good reason to want to invest the resources to reestablish civilization on some other star system. But that's very,
sure,
very remote.
Sure. Do any of your colleagues have suspicions about the monolith?
Well, I've asked them to try and be interested and support the things that I've been doing. There's very very little response. There's one that didn't fly to the moon, and some others who are shuttle people who are certainly interested in helping me advance progress of human spaceflight.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Aldrin, I always wanted to ask you this. We saw the photos of the little Masonic flag to the moon and some of the names of the missions and the numerology. Is there anything to that, or what is the Masonic influence? We know there's a Masonic influence in the founding of the country. What is the Masonic influence on NASA?
As far as I can tell, zero. There were some Masonic brothers of mine in Texas that wanted me to take some kind of a Masonic emblem to the moon in some gesture of I don't know what it would be a gesture of, but I told them that it was not within my my authority to do such a thing.
Absolutely. One of the astronauts left a photo of his family, though, there.
Oh, yeah. I think that's perfectly legitimate. I left several things, coins from Soviet cosmonauts killed, a patch from the Apollo 1, messages from 72 leaders of the world, and an olive branch gold pin that was my contribution.
Wow. Well, again, it's just amazing getting to talk to you. The book is Magnificent Desolation. Let me bring up one other subject and then end on a very positive note. It's a great book. This has gotten a lot of attention lately. What do you think of the people that mistrust the government and the system so much that they say you guys couldn't have gone to the Van Allen radiation belt and that it was all a Stanley Kubrick film production?
Well, I think they are self-serving individuals looking for attention, preying on gullible people, and they wouldn't exist if it were not for the gullible people who also like to encourage thinking about unrealistic, unsubstantiated things and titillate the public.
Yeah.
And that includes all sorts of people. I hate to say it, but it includes yourself. But I sure understand that's humanity. That's the way we operate, and I'm not beyond using that to help publicize the reality of things and the monolith.
Well, sure, but I mean, Dr. Aldrin, we have to question. I mean, that's a human trait. I tend in the other direction because I know people that worked actually, you know, on the mission with the RCA cameras and things, and they say they believe it was real. My issue is I know it goes in the other direction. I've talked to people, former head of Star Wars and others. They say there's so much classified stuff, space planes, that the real space program is robotic and that it, most of it's military. You have any comments on that?
Well, robotic space program is much, much cheaper than a human one. And if I were financing the military, I would be pretty skeptical about sending military astronauts up there with all the expense if I could get the job done with robots. So, yeah, but I think there certainly are limits to what can be done with robots and still keep that somewhat cloaked from the general public. The people that accuse the government of improperly cordoning off areas like Area 51 from public trespassing. What do you think we want to do? Do you think we want to open up every avenue of classified defense of our country?
No, but I was just asking you, your knowledge, Mr. Aldrin, about secret government programs, because that is obviously very, very interesting. The book is Magnificent Desolation, Buzz Aldrin with Ken Abraham, and it's an amazing book. You're an amazing person, and we really enjoy you being on. I'd like to say bye to you as we go to break here in 5 seconds before we let you go, Mr. Aldrin. But again, we really want to thank you for coming on with Magnificent Desolation. Okay, we're going to do 5 more minutes with Commander, Colonel, Captain Buzz Aldrin, Doctor. The book is Buzz Aldrin, Magnificent Desolation. And he's going to come back for 5 minutes and break down, answer the people that say we didn't go to the moon or it was a hoax. So, Buzz Aldrin, you've got the floor, sir. Please break it down for us.
Well, he went to the moon. There are laser radar reflectors that are on the moon that we show pictures of that we brought back. And anybody who has a laser beam can send it to the moon, and it'll bounce back to you, and you can measure the frequency change, and that's why it's there, to measure how Africa drifts away from South America and other geological and scientific measurements like that. I think most important is the fact that we were clearly in a race with another highly technical, capable country, the Soviet Union, that claimed they never went to the moon, but they were preparing to, and they had landers, and they had people picked out. And, of course, after we were on the moon, they had rovers up there, so they fully had the ability to know whether we landed there or not. And they never joined the conspiracy that said that America never went to the moon. So I think that's the strongest argument. But whatever it is, it's supported by gullible people that want to believe the bizarre, the unusual, the fantasy. And that's okay, because that's human nature, to be curious about things.
Well, I read a book by a prominent person who says we didn't go to the moon, and he says there's plants on the moon, and it has an atmosphere, and that it rotates, but everybody can look at the moon and tell it doesn't rotate, or at least, I mean, that's crazy.
Well, it rotates once a revolution around the Earth. That's the way it keeps the same side faced, because that's the minimum tidal effect that the Earth and the Sun have on the surface of the moon. And things tend to have friction, dissipate energy to a point where there is no friction anymore. And if you want to carry that to an extreme, if the Earth and the moon were around long enough, the moon would move further and further and further away until there was no tidal effect of the moon on the Earth, and the same side of the Earth faced the moon and vice versa.
Yeah. What do you, when you bring up the Russian issue of them tracking the mission and they would have blown the whistle on us, I guess people then say that that was a conspiracy too?
I don't know what they say. I think they dodged the question.
What about the Van Allen radiation belt, though, with the film? Because I did talk to one of the guys on the RCA cameras, and he said, yeah, there was some film problem, but I guess sometimes the film would be okay, sometimes it wouldn't be, because I guess the belts are different strengths, or?
Well, you're passing through them pretty much of a hurry. We have a concern about what we call the South Atlantic anomaly, which is where some of the radiation dips down to lower altitudes, around maybe 400 miles above the surface of the Earth. So we don't want to send a spacecraft into that South Atlantic anomaly for long periods of time or many, many, many orbits. But certainly radiation detectors that went through the Van Allen belt, as scientific probes do all the time that are leaving the Earth and heading for geosynchronous, where we have our communication satellites, those are above the Van Allen belt. The communication satellites are essentially three diameters above the surface of the Earth, and the moon is 10 times that distance away. The moon Phobos is about one diameter of Mars away from the surface of Mars, and it goes around in 7 hours. So
wow.
Very, very much closer.
Well, Buzz Aldrin, the book is Magnificent Desolation. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I really appreciate your time. Maybe I can have you up sometime for a 30-minute interview just about your vision of going to Mars. I know humanity is reaching out to the stars, and I know we have incredible potential thanks to people like you and the courage that you and other astronauts have had. And I really do appreciate the time that you've graciously spent with us. And I hope that before I become an old man, or even sooner, before you leave this planet many years from now, that we get to find out what that monolith or obelisk is on the moon of Mars. So,
okay, let me just say one more thing. We need a serious debate here before we begin to spend large, large amounts on going to Mars. And I don't think we need to do that for another 10 years. That's why we have a two-phase program.
Yeah.
But the debate is, do we want to just go there a couple of times and then let the Congress spend the money on earmarks, or do we want to commit to permanence? That's continuous increasing settlements at Mars. That's the choice we need to make. And anything you folks can do to begin to address that subject, is it worth expending the money to send humans and their judgment and their curiosity and their investigation? Or do we want to do that with only robots? Because if the moon, our moon, is a very hostile place. It's not inviting at all. And the same thing applies there. We can do robots much, much easier than of course on Mars, and I think better than humans on the moon.
But that's what I was going to say, is it's good to send humans, isn't it? Because it keeps us in the game. If we start getting to where we only have robots, we might turn into, you know, over eons into creatures that don't even have arms and legs and just sit there as blobs like something out of WALL-E. Have you seen that movie WALL-E, where there are all these blobs that
more important than that, other nations will go where we choose not to go.
Yeah, since you brought that up, let me just ask you this final question. I mean, we'll let you go. Again, Buzz Aldrin, second to walk on the moon, a famous astronaut here, one of the most famous, if not the most famous, next to Neil Armstrong. There's been a call for globalism, global government, saying then man can go to the stars. But this having a big global bureaucracy, I think, would actually stamp out a lot of innovation of the different nation states. What's your view on people that call for a new world order?
Well, they're seeking power where it perhaps is not deserved. Space-faring nations, those with the capability of sending objects for themselves or for others, are space-faring nations, and they're the ones, and only the ones, that should have a say. Otherwise, it's going to be, I want what some favored other nation has. So we do need international involvement, but we need strong leadership, and I think that's where the United States has the opportunity to be that leader.
But are you overall then, you don't like the globalism or world government then?
No, I like space-faring nations determine what goes up above 100 kilometers and what comes down and what protects the assets there.
Is that a good name for you, a spacefarer, not just an astronaut?
Well, yeah. I mean, below 100 kilometers, you can throw rocks, you can fire mortars, rocket grenades. You can do whatever you want, and we'll deal with those terrestrial problems of human rights, of piracy, of stealing, and all those other things. But let's have a separation for the benefit of what goes on, because things can collide with each other, and eventually irresponsible actions, accidentally or on purpose, can prohibit the use of space by anybody just because there's too much up there and it'll run into anything that you want to put up there for useful purposes. It'll knock out your DirecTV. It'll knock out your weather
forecast. What do you think of the weaponization of space? I mean, you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't call that weaponization. I call that prudent behavior. If you have assets in space and some rogue nation can threaten you, you should have the ability to defend yourself against those hostile acts.
But the country that gets a dominance in space could then set up an off-world system and really almost split into two species, have the dominant empire that's space-based, and then kind of the suboid minions back on Earth. I guess those are debates we should be having, though.
Well, I think that we all like the pleasures down here, and those are subject to conflict. I think we need to be judicious. And I think you're projecting way far ahead to have a space species only that's in conflict with a terrestrial species. species only.
Now, I know, but you know, a couple hundred years is the blink of an eye, and the way technology is advancing and developing, I just read some of the white papers put out by governments about what they believe is going to happen, even here on the Earth with genetic engineering and the rest of it. Again, Buzz Aldrin, we've been so honored to have all this time with you. Feel free, if you've got anything else you'd like to add or if you need to go, we'll say a farewell, bon voyage to you.
I got to go. When you got to go, you got to go.
Buzz Aldrin, you're a really nice fella and have a lot of courage, and we really appreciate you coming on with us.
All righty. Thank you.
Take care. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Buzz Aldrin, 45-minute interview. And I skipped a break. I do that more and more. I had Alan Keyes on. All this is happening. That's why we have a fourth hour, though, you know, for the advertisers. And I said I was going to get into all this other crazy stuff. What happens is I got these great producers out here. We got Jaron Neihart doing it, and we got Paul Hartman. We got Rob Due. Rob Due is doing computer and video editing. They're in here running the live TV show. And now that I got three producers who also do other jobs, but three of them, I mean, it's just like, hey, want Buzz Aldrin? Yeah, get him. Hey, want this person? Want that person? They really do a great professional job. Want to commend the team out there for getting Buzz Aldrin. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I've had Schmidt on, Dr. Schmidt. Now I've had Dr. Aldrin on. We're going to get all these astronauts on. And we're going to get some of them on that are talking about the advanced technologies and hidden agendas. But I dare somebody to get Buzz Aldrin up and then start being mean to him and tell him we didn't go to the moon. I have a lot of friends that think it's all a hoax and a fraud, and I have my questions. But analyzing it, I think it's clear they've got a lot of more advanced technology they don't want the public knowing about. And a lot of what we're shown is kind of the 1930s tinker toys. You heard when I brought up Wernher von Braun on the space shuttle, 1934, 1935. You know, that was accurate with Dr. Aldrin. They tell us the SR-71 Blackbird in service in the mid-1950s is the fastest plane we have. Now, if you believe that 50-plus years later, I don't know, what's 55 to 2009? That's 55, 54 years later. If you believe that a 54-year-old, 55, well, developed in 1950, it's really 59 years old, but in service in 55. If you believe a 59-year-old aircraft is the fastest aircraft we've got, you are insane. And we've already had a split off with the more advanced technologies in the military and corporate reservations. We need to have a larger debate about this. And so I brought Buzz Aldrin on about that. I just know this. There's a lot of credible criticism of moon landing being a hoax. But there's also a lot of it, like you take Behold a Pale Horse. People kept telling me, read it. I finally got it a few months ago and read the whole thing. I'd read about a third of it back in the late 90s. And there's plants on the moon. It rotates every day. You don't need a spacesuit on the moon. Jesus is killed by aliens with holograms. And it's in there. People then email me when I talk about that and say I'm a liar. It doesn't say that. Whatever. The book says that. Anybody who's read it knows that. Hey, get Burmese here, isn't he? He printed that off the other day. Get him to run that in. I want to show people that. The only point is that then I look at it and there's, you know, I have experienced people saying everything's a hoax because they don't believe anything can be real. Like they say it's fake that I snuck into Bohemian Grove. No, they arrested the Vanity Fair reporter last year, the People Magazine reporter, the CBS reporter. I got in and out by the grace of God, and probably because I snuck in with Mike Hansen. Most reporters sneak in by themselves. I thought two people would be good to throw them off. We really did, you know, put the Joker poster out and have people put them up in hundreds of cities nationwide. We really did start 9/11 Truth and expose that as an inside job. We really did come out and say they're going to use flu as a hoax for martial law. And now Ron Paul and Congressman Brown and former Congressman Dick Armey are saying that. And governors are writing letters, the Governors Association, to the president saying, we don't want 400,000 regular army in America. It's an unconstitutional power grab and takeover. And we have gotten, in many cities, over 75%. This is now coming out in Oregon and California and Michigan. In some towns, 75% of the school kids aren't taking the vaccines now because we woke people up. I know we can affect change. I know we have power as a species. I know we can do incredible things. And I know I've talked to people with national security letters and people who are high-level retired engineers and people that ran the cameras and all the rest of it. And they say The word is there was a whole nother space program even more advanced going on, and that what we were seeing was Tinker Toys. And so it was theater, but only theater. I mean, did you hear Aldrin hinting at aliens and hinting at Egypt and hinting at monoliths and obelisk and then putting it out and then pulling back and how excited he got on TV? And I've talked to other astronauts off record. I've talked to other people that know astronauts, and they say it's just you couldn't imagine what's really going on. And I know that gets into coast-to-coast territory, but this is the, you know, something's going on. I don't know what it is. And it was just amazing interview. So there you have it. You know, I know you can do real things. I also know there are hoaxes and frauds, but I want you to believe in yourselves. You know, let's say I'm bad, which I'm not. I mean, I'm the real deal. It's by proven by my fruits. The New World Order hates what I'm doing. But regardless, let's just say I'm bad for the sake of argument. Don't let that stop you from taking action, getting involved, reaching out to other people, waking them up. Now, I'm going to talk about the Joker contest, the final segment. Tomorrow, I will start the show. I don't have anybody on the first hour, do I? We got more big guests coming up this week. Oh, you ought to wait till the guest I got coming up in October. It's going to blow your mind. But about this whole picture of the vaccines and how they're killing people and how the flu shot in the trials is killing a bunch of people. But the good news is it's coming out. It's a fraud. It's coming out. It's on purpose. Every major guest I have on is aware of world government and eugenics and against it. Buzz Aldrin was just against the New World Order. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say. It's just amazing things are happening, and we all have incredible power in this world to control our destiny. Here is the secret government, chapter 12, Behold a Pale Horse. There are areas on the moon where plant life grows and even changes in colors with the seasons. And then it goes on to say that it has an atmosphere and rotates. Okay, you can't make this up. Here's the part about aliens and holograms. Now, I read this when somebody sent this to me in the late 90s and laughed at it. So there, that's what I say to people that, I mean, this is the guy that claims that I'm a transvestite at public events wearing nipple bobbers. I mean, I'm sorry. People keep asking me to respond to this. Okay, look, I don't believe there's plants on the moon, and I don't get up at Academy Award events wearing nipple bobbers. I mean, I just can't handle it anymore. People keep asking me to respond. You really want me to go deeper into this? It's a raving liar. There you go. You got what you wanted. I'm talking about it. The people say I'm a liar, that it doesn't need to get worse. It gets more insane. Plants and the moon rotates and has seasons and turkeys flying by or something. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. All right. I just had Buzz Aldrin on. I'm talking about this because it gets into the moon stuff. People are like, have you read this about the moon? So I read it and it's like plants and the moon. I mean, well, you know, that doesn't mean I don't think there's some hoaxing going on. But the info I've been given is because they don't want anybody to see the real technology they've got. I believe we're being lied to. Let's get that straight. Okay, look, I'm out of time. I'm going to start the show tomorrow with 45 minutes on the big picture of the staged flu, the martial law, finally getting traction, mainline congressmen, former congressmen, governor's association, talking about martial law, troops. It's really happening. And knowing it's happening and knowing it's wrong and people speaking out beforehand will nix them being able to do this. Then the COINTELPRO will attack and say, see, it didn't happen. But that's okay. At least we still have our country and our economy and our future. So we've been right. It's all coming true. Exactly as we said, you have all done a job off the charts good. You've all done a job off the charts good. Dealing with the Obama Joker posters with Infowars.com. We're going to do one that says bank heist, bank robber. We're going to do one that says liar. We're going to do one that says End the War. They're all up on the flyer page at Infowars.com. Just click on the contest page. We're making a bigger article about it all. It's about the First Amendment. It's about free speech worldwide. It's about the people seeing the power of going out and engaging in the First Amendment. Obama said in the Washington Post to his members to stick favorable posters of him on stop signs. We said do only what's legal, and that's in commons areas where other signs are up, in areas where that's allowed. The media has a state investigation like we're Al-Qaeda. They're talking about the victims. It's all blown up on their face, their hypocrisy, their clear double standard. And this has resonated with people, and it's going to end up being bigger than the Andre has a posse thing that went on for a decade. You watch. These Obama posters, and it shows the power of the people just putting him up as a criminal destroys all of his power. And thus, all the New World Order agenda that's coupled up to him. I do want to, just in closing, encourage people to buy the different posters of Obama. Well, the posters are free. The different T-shirts, wear them. We've got the Bush Joker T-shirts, by the way, which are just absolutely scary. Our actual graphics lady did those. Really captures his demonic personality. We're going to create one with Bush on the back and Obama on the front and vice versa. That's about to go up on the shopping cart. Get the videos, get the books, get them out to people. And you also then fund us when you support us to expand our operation. It's symbiotic. We're having great success against the globalists. They can be defeated. We just had Buzz Aldrin basically saying down with the New World Order. Huge guests, jam-packed. We had the Pale Horse militia guy on in the first part of the show. That's coming up now, Infowars.com. Great job, crew. That was a good transmission. Ha-ha.